Hey everyone, welcome back to the Castaway Consultants, where we teach future Survivor players how to play the game by criticizing past players. I'm one of your three wonderful co-hosts, Ryan Stacey, your resident Survivor superfan, who knows everything there is to know about Survivor and everything there is to know about fashion. I am joined by Derek Kubicek.
Excited to be here, excited to be done with Redemption Island and on to the next iteration of Redemption Island.
And Josh Wessler.
Hello, good to be here. And for those who are not tuning in on YouTube or any other visual platform, yes, Ryan knows everything there is to know about fashion. You can tell by the shirt he's wearing right now.
For our listeners, I'm currently wearing a pink leopard print shirt.
Yeah, Tiger King called. He wants his prison jumpsuit back.
And it's a wonderful shirt. And Survivor South Pacific is a wonderful season. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Survivor South Pacific Season 23, the pre-merge, which is often considered a member of the Dark Ages. I resent that remark. This is the most underrated season of Survivor, at least through the pre-merge. Most underrated.
Hot takes around here.
Yeah, I'm gonna bow to Ryan's, I guess, conclusion on that, because I kind of stay out of the conversation writ large to avoid spoilers. But I have to say, I have thoroughly enjoyed the pre-merge. It's definitely got a different atmosphere, a little bit of a different aura to it, but I really like the cast. I like the back and forth. There are very few people who are boring, but at the same time, they're entertaining in ways that aren't Philip.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of, I guess, inside baseball there, but I'm excited to talk about it.
And Josh, so for those of you new around here, this is Derek's first time watching the season.
Yes, yep. And before we get to, you know, we'll talk a little bit more once we get to the spoiler section, but I have not seen season 23. I've not seen South Pacific. I don't know what happens from beginning to end. If I am spoiled on anything, I'll let you know when we get into the spoiler section.
And Josh is our memorability consultant.
Yes, sir. And for those who don't know, I watched the premiere, the merge, and the finale. Everything in between, it's completely relied upon the old noggin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, good luck, everyone. A lot of talking from these other two. Just kidding. I like to chime in every once in a while, too.
Well, you have notes now.
I do have notes. It's a miracle. But I watched this just a couple of years ago in 2020, when we had started this podcast even. So it is still pretty fresh in my mind. It's not like we're looking back like 6 years or something on this thing. But I remember it fondly. I did binge watch this season. I do remember that. But still a fairly memorable cast, memorable season. So yeah, excited to talk about it.
So the point of this podcast is we're here to rewatch Survivor, so you don't have to. There's 42 seasons. If you don't have time to watch them all, you got to pick and choose a little bit. We're here to tell you which ones you should watch. Season 23, South Pacific, like I said, most people don't like this season. I think it is awesome. I love this season. But the big question is this must-watch Survivor? Derek?
Through the pre-merge, I unfortunately have to say I don't think that it's must-watch Survivor. I don't think there are a lot of new lessons to learn here. In terms of understanding what's going to happen in a captain season, I think you're going to get more from a season 11 or from a season 22 in terms of, I guess, the direction that a captain season could go. I didn't feel like there was enough change in the gaming mechanics, and it was really entertaining, but I can also see it only being entertaining to a niche community.
Sure.
But having never seen the season before, I kind of got through the pre-merge, and I was like, okay, that was baseline pre-merge season of Survivor. I enjoyed the entertaining portion of the entertainment portion of the returning captains, but there was nothing really else there, so I cannot call it must-watch.
I will say it's must-watch, especially to spoil what I think about the post-merge. If you combine the two together, I think definitely must-watch. But for the pre-merge, I will say it's must-watch. I think there is new stuff here. It's a much better version of Redemption Island. So far, I think it's better than Guatemala. It's a captain season because you have two captains who are solid players but flawed, as opposed to, I hate to slander Bobby John, but Bobby John. So I do think South Pacific is must-watch forever. With a big caveat, I think this is very interesting because there is a lot of religious manipulation and borderline religious abuse in this season, and that will make a lot of people very uncomfortable, which it did at the time. I find that fascinating. So That is the big caveat. This could very well, if you watch the season, if you're a religious person, you might find this uncomfortable, and that's totally fair, because it is. But I am fascinated by this. So that is why I think it's must-watch Survivor, because it's kind of a little bit of a crash course on building a cult, which is a very effective Survivor strategy.
Cults are bad, but I mean, I guess if you're the leader of a cult in Survivor, it's going to carry you as far as it's going to carry you. The reason I kind of fell on the side that it doesn't become must-watch is that there's nothing really new to offer or best to offer. From an entertainment perspective, I think this is my favorite structure for the captain seasons thus far. Of the three captain seasons that we've had, these are my two favorite captains to return. In terms of like, okay, I'm happy to see them come back in this format. So I agree with you there. And I'm excited to see if the post-merge helps change my mind on the must-watch aspect of the entire season.
Josh?
Interesting. I'm having a hard time deciding here. I'm leaning towards not must-watch Survivor, but I feel like I almost have to reserve my opinion until after we talk about it. I think I'll know for sure at the end of this podcast. So tune in. A nice little teaser there.
That's what we call a deep tease.
Deep tease. You got to listen to this an entire thing. No fast-forwarding. You can't do that. So I think I'm going to reserve my opinion until then. For now, I'm leaning towards not must-watch Survivor. I'm thinking that I might make the post-merge must-watch Survivor, at least when you're talking about the culty side, potentially. But, I mean, lest we forget, we're still only one season out of the Cult of Rob, so it's not like this is the first cult we've seen.
This is a better cult.
Honestly, let's just get into spoilers so we can talk about this a little bit.
I think the difference is Rob had built a mafia where this is a cult. I think that's the difference. Spoiler alert for Survivor South Pacific, so go watch the season.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1.
Yay.
So yeah, without really saying much, to let everybody know, I do believe that I know who the winner of this season is. I won't say why I believe to know, but, you know, just trying to be honest with you guys. So I do think I'm spoiled on the winner. We'll find out. We're not going to talk about that here because this is pre-merge. We don't spoil anything post-merge in the pre-merge episode. Other than that, I didn't know anything about the season. I did not know that Coach would be coming back. I knew that Ozzy would be coming back eventually, but I didn't know when, where, how, or why. As Ryan said earlier, two very flawed players.
Yep.
And it's exciting to see two flawed players come back in a captain season see how they leave.
Let's talk about the captains before we get into the cast proper, because we're going to do the same formula we did last time. We have two returning players, each leading a tribe. We have Coach and Ozzy. Yeah, and I think that's the difference because, you know, Russell's also a flawed player last season. Hence why he went out so early. But, you know, Boston Rob is elite top two or three player all time. Not very interesting. To have these two competent, somewhat knowledgeable players with huge gaping holes in their game, way more fun. Especially with Ozzy, we're going to get some really bad gameplay. But also some really unique, innovative gameplay. You know, Ozzy, I think, is going to earn his place in Survivor Game Changers this season. Because he comes up with a brand new strategy. It's really fun. Ozzy and Coach. This is how you do a captain season. You know, I am not opposed to captain seasons. I like all of them except Redemption Island. And so I don't like Edge of Extinction either, but it's not because of the captains. That's not the reason I don't like Edge of Extinction. But the other three are awesome. And I think this is why. I think it's all about casting. Who are your captains? You can't have too good of a player. Like, I don't want to see like a Rob versus Parvati captain season. I think that'd be a snooze fest. But if you get people like Coach and Ozzy, hell yeah.
And I agree with everything Ryan just said from an entertainment standpoint. And also, I don't want to see people come back and play the same game over and over again. Give new people a chance, especially because we've already sort of identified that captains have a pretty significant advantage. Our two captain seasons thus far, chronologically in this watch through, a captain has made it to the finale both times.
Not just the finale, the final.
Yeah, the final. Sorry, like two final tribal council. They got to pitch to the jury why they should win $1 million. And yeah, one of them won, one of them didn't. But I mean, say what you will, getting to the end in Survivor takes a lot of luck, but a lot of craftsmanship. And you know that the reason they were so crafty is because they are returners.
100%.
Yeah, it's not like we have anything new to offer structurally. It's the exact same thing as last season.
Yes.
Switching a couple of things out, Redemption Island, nothing new. Captains, nothing new. And it's not going to be the last time that we get that approach either. Not like exactly like a Captain's and a Redemption Island, but like we'll get Captain's again. We'll get Redemption Island again.
Yes.
And because I think it's fun, before we jump into the cast proper, really quickly. So what do you think that the big holes in these two Captain's games are? So I'll start with Coach. I think self-awareness has been his number one issue in his first two seasons. But I will say, at the end of Heroes vs. Villains, at least the end of his run in Heroes vs. Villains, he was coming around a little bit. He had a heart-to-heart with Tyson, and Tyson was kind of able to let him know, like, hey, you do not come across the way that you think you do, and this is Survivor, and you've kind of got it wrong. And he kind of comes to a little bit, and I think we're going to see some of that growth here in the pre-merge, but self-awareness has always been a big hole in Coach's game.
And I think, more importantly, he's too obsessed with the whole honor and integrity aspect of the game.
I think that's partially self-awareness, because he thinks he has honor and integrity, and then he kind of doesn't.
Especially in the pre-merge of this season.
Yes.
For Ozzy, he's got the physical game down, but it's almost to a fault. He thinks, like, being the fisherman and provider is the most important thing ever, and it's not. Maybe in season one, and even then, like, it was important, but each season it gets less important. And so Ozzy puts so much emphasis on that he neglects the social game and the strategic game to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, like, socially, it's difficult, because it seems like a lot of people end up liking him, but it's that's only, like, halfway there for the social game. But I mean, in this premiere, he right away says, I'm back, I know I need to do better strategically. And it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to actually, like, have the skill set to be able to perform strategically.
I think this is Ozzy's best strategic season. Socially, that's another question, but I do think he does improve his strategic game here, but I think his social game gets worse.
What's interesting, so far, when I think of Ozzy's strategic game, the most strategic thing I think he's ever done was the beginning of Cook Islands, when he refused to become the leader of the tribe, even though he knew how to do everything. He was like, I don't want to be the leader. That's a really bad spot. It's like, if people come to me and they ask a question, I'm happy to answer it, but I don't want to be the leader. It's like, oh, wow, there's a guy who understands Survivor. And then kind of proceeded to just bust through walls after that and not really know what he was doing.
And only lose by one vote.
All
right. So let's get jump into the rest of this cast.
Yes.
Huh? So first we have the Savai'i tribe. We have Don Meehan, an English professor from Utah. Elise Yumimoto, a dance team manager from Las Vegas. Jim Rice, a medical marijuana dispenser from Denver. John Cochran, a Harvard law student from Washington, D.C. Keith Tollefson, a water treatment technician from Edina, Minnesota.
Cake womp, 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 womp.
People from Minnesota understand the Edina joke.
Yes. For those of you not from Minnesota, Edina is a very, very, very wealthy suburb, so we like to make fun of them and call them cake eaters.
That's the truth.
Yes. It stems from the Mighty Ducks, so that's what. We like to make fun of people from Edina.
You must never go there.
Mark Papa Bear Caruso, a retired NYPD detective from New York. Ozzy, as we mentioned, returning from Cook Islands in Micronesia. Semhar Tedesi, a spoken word artist from Los Angeles. And Whitney Duncan, a country music singer from Nashville, Tennessee. She was actually on a reality show before she did Survivor. I got to look it up, make sure I get the right name. She was a contestant on Nashville Star.
I have never even heard of that. It sounds like a CMT show.
Some knockoff.
Not super familiar with it, but, you know, she was, just worthy of note. So that's the Savai'i tribe.
Yeah, and I would like to make a note that Jim also plays a lot of poker. I'm saying that because that was, for some reason, like, the one thing that, like, stood out the most when, like, I remember him is like he was a poker guy. Not that he's the medical marijuana dispensary guy, that he plays poker. And for some reason, that always stands out to me, just because it seems like they approach most poker players approach the game the same way.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair. On the Apolu tribe, we have Albert Destrade, I'm not quite sure you pronounce his last name, but he is a baseball/dating coach from Florida. Brandon Hance, that last name
of no relation.
That last name might sound familiar to you. He is the nephew of Russell Hance.
That's his occupation.
But he's also an oil tanker crewman from Texas.
For Russell, it would sound like, because he's an oil guy, right?
Maybe, could be, I'm not sure. Christine Shields Markowski, a teacher from New York. Coach Wade, returning from Survivor Tokachins and Heroes vs. Villains.
Benjamin
Coach Wade. Edna Ma, an anesthesiologist from Los Angeles. Michaela Wingle, a lingerie football player from Florida. Rick Nelson, a rancher from Utah. Sophie Clark, a medical student from New York. And Stacey Powell, a mortician from Texas. That is our 18. What a motley crew this is.
And they're not all from California. They're not all from LA.
Got some like diversity. It's fun. This is a pretty fun group.
It's almost like interesting things can happen when you have a diverse cast.
Yeah.
I do think through 23 seasons, this might be, on paper, the second or third most elite cast.
Okay, that's a little much. I love the season, but that's
elite is a strong word.
I honestly don't think so. I think China is clearly ahead, and I think I like Palau better. And then I think maybe like your Vanuatu and South Pacific are kind of in the same tier for me on paper. On
all
paper,
right. I think when we're done with all this rewind, we're gonna have to do a Castaway Consultants ranking of all the casts list.
Oh, of course,
heck yeah.
Brief technical difficulties, folks, but we're back at it now. The mic's going to sound different, so I just want to address it. Okay, so Josh and I, every time we start a season with the new people, we play a little game to see how many of these people Josh can remember. He had a little bit of an advantage here because recency bias, but he got 7 out of the 16. You know, we don't count Coach and Ozzy, obviously.
Yeah. Captains, any returning players do not count in this. And also a little bit higher than I expected. We're you can tell the closer and closer we get to the more recent seasons, it's like, oh, instead of getting 4 or 5, we're at 6 or 7 now.
Yep.
I'm excited to get back to season 27 because Josh probably hasn't watched a lot of those in longer.
I mean, it's going to be back down to like that was the first season I watched.
Exactly.
So it's going to be back down to like 2 or 3.
It's going to be fun. All right, you guys ready to jump into these episodes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Episode 1, I Need Redemption. Ozzy and Coach are introduced to the new contestants, and we do a drawing of eggs. They're eggs filled with dye, and they have to smash the eggs, and that's what team they're on. Conspiracy theory, I think one of the eggs was probably like cold or hot, and that's how they knew. But, you know, I can't prove that.
Well, you kind of said the same thing last season, didn't you?
Yeah,
tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil hat. I think these were set up. I don't think this was a
for what reason
draw.
Though? Just personalities?
Yeah, I think they want certain people to interact with certain people. Like maybe like an Ozzy and a Cochran interact would be fun. And I think they would want Coach and Brandon Hance on the same tribe just to get, you know, because Coach played with Russell. I think this was a setup, but it's fine. You know, to be honest, I don't care, you know, because random draw, you know, just set up the tribes.
Yeah, do what you want.
It's not a big deal.
Predetermine the tribes every single season anyway, yeah. So it's not like it matters.
It's fine. I don't actually care. But yes, this is where Brandon Hance is introduced. He is the nephew of Russell Hance, and he is here to clear the family name. He wants to play honor and integrity, and he's on a tribe with Coach.
Two words we've never heard from anyone else on this cast ever.
Why does this seem like just like some like D level, like not even sequel, but like fourth movie in a stupid series?
Yeah,
I'm here to clear my family name.
I am the previously unmentioned relative of the main character of the first movie, and I'm here to clear their name and avenge their honor.
Now the main character.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what this is.
It's like John Hammond's silent billionaire partner for Jurassic Park that magically appeared in Fallen Kingdom.
Exactly. That's exactly
that garbage movie.
Here's the fun part is Brandon has a couple of tattoos on him that say Hance.
Doesn't sound like a narcissist at all.
So he has to keep his shirt on so nobody sees his tattoos because he doesn't want anybody to know he's Russell's nephew, which I think is fair. At this point in the game, I think his strategy is to keep this shirt on the whole game. I do like this move for at least the first couple of days. Just let them get you to know you as Brandon before you drop that bomb on him. So I do like that he's hiding this at first.
It's kind of like going on a first date, second date, third date. It's not withholding information. It's just waiting for the opportune moment to present it. Now, you have to be careful, because if you are acting like a Russell Hance, and then you tell everyone that you're the nephew of Russell Hance, and everyone's like, oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bad. But if you're not like Russell Hance, and then you're like, by the way, he's my uncle, I didn't want to tell you guys for obvious reasons, and everyone's like, I'd have never guessed. That's good. So I do not hate the move to withhold it.
I mean, it's not a terrible move, but he's also acting like he doesn't have his name tattooed on himself. Like, he's going into the game thinking he can keep this secret the entire time, and that he'll just keep his shirt on at literally all times, and it won't be suspicious. So I feel like he could have thought this through a little bit better.
So let's talk about Brandon Hance, because he's one of the big noisemakers this season, one of the big personalities. Brandon's 19. And the dude has some issues. So I've always been a little easier on Brandon because I feel bad for him. Because I don't know if he should have been on TV. I don't think he is exactly in the right healthy headspace to be on Survivor. So I've always been, I like to go a little easy on Brennan because I do genuinely feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, his story thus far, and this is just going off of, I mean, not even a bio, just based on conversations with Ryan, I believe he's 19, he's divorced, and a born-again Christian, I think?
I don't think he was divorced yet.
Not yet? So he's married 19-year-old, yep. Born-again Christian, who's, was he coming off of addiction of some kind?
He just had some trouble in his past. Yeah. I think some of it was gang-related.
Sure.
So he's had a troubled upbringing.
Sure.
He's trying to redeem himself, born-again Christian, very, very religious, seems like a nice kid. He's going to get a fairly negative edit throughout the season. Post Survivor South Pacific, most of the cast has a very positive thing to say about him. So, yeah, Brandon's an interesting one.
Yeah, and I don't even want to say that the edit is negative. I feel like it was almost like mocking.
Sure.
Like, this guy is so out of his depth and so out of touch with reality that there's no way that he'll ever win the game of Survivor. That's kind of the feeling that I got from Brandon Hance's edit.
So with Brandon, he's one of the things that I think made people go uncomfortable about this season. I think that's totally fair. I still find it interesting.
It is interesting. I'll give it that much.
He does create a definitely interesting dynamic. Just the way that he acts and behaves, the way he talks about people, the opinions that he has about certain people, it just kind of throws a wrench into the tribe that everyone kind of just has to really pay attention to that might not necessarily be on most seasons of Survivor.
True.
So that aspect is it really is fascinating how people kind of navigate that.
My number one thing that I love about this season is the relationship between Brandon and Coach. That is what I think is the most interesting dynamic of the season.
It's an interesting dynamic. It feels a little abusive at times. Uh-huh. But Brandon is undoubtedly the bomb that needs to be defused this season.
100%. Christine, she is the New Yorker, and she's going to call it how she sees it and pull real Francesca from last season. She's going to call out Coach Nazi for being temporary players in this game. Bro, you've seen Redemption Island. All these people watched Redemption Island. You know what happened last time.
Whenever there's a new twist, like, it's like, ah, man, it's tough. Give him the benefit of the doubt. It's fine. Like, nope, none of that.
No, none of that here. And I believe Christine's a big fan of the show. So, not great.
Oof. And maybe she was going to set the mood early with her tribe. Like, don't let Coach get comfortable. We saw what happened with Rob. But you don't do that here. You need to have the charisma and the social wherewithal to do that, and I don't think she does.
Keep your mouth shut. We're going to get a reward challenge right off the bat, and it's a hero reward challenge. It's Ozzy versus Coach. Ozzy wins. To be fair, the puzzle at the end is extremely difficult, and Ozzy is actually a really good puzzler, but even he needs help with the puzzles. So it's a tough challenge. Most people would lose to Ozzy.
And the other thing is we had Sophie and I can't even remember her
Albert.
Name.
Albert. Stacy.
Yeah, mostly Sophie and Stacy were shouting conflicting opinions at Coach. Mm-hmm. At least the edit fed it like that, and it was like, okay, yeah, I don't blame. First of all, I don't blame Coach for losing, but you know, it was Ozzy's challenge to lose.
And even though this was technically a hero challenge, this was more like a team communication challenge.
Sure.
Where it's like, who can listen to the people on this side of the arena best?
Which I like. Upolo, after the challenge, they're kind of dismissive of Coach. They all just kind of walk off, except for Edna. Edna stays behind and is a friend to Coach and, you know, helps him pick himself up and forms a bond with Coach right off the bat, which I really like. Good move for Edna. So instead of working on anything, Ozzy decides to take his tribe for a swim, which, you know, gets mixed reactions from some people. Don wants to work in the shelter. Cochran doesn't want to go swimming, but they're both going to do it, which is good.
We're camp fun here.
We're camp fun. Don is going to have a little bit of a meltdown on day two because they're way behind schedule, basically. And she's a little bit kind of like their neurotic English teacher.
She reminded me so much of Holly.
Major Holly vibes.
It felt so similar.
I love Don.
I do, too.
She's the best.
And ended up liking Holly a lot, too.
She's someone who she has to grow on you because I didn't like her in the premiere the first time that I watched. After the premiere, It definitely does just grow on you.
By all accounts, Don is the greatest, nicest person ever lived.
Shocker. I can see that.
I love Don. Ozzy is the one who makes Don feel better, and then for the rest of the premiere, she's totally fine. She's small breakdown, but not nearly as bad as Holly's in Nicaragua.
She did not bury Dan's shoes or Cochran's sweater vest.
coach, rough start, but he bounces back once they get to camp. He is a coach. He is coaching these people. He's helping them learn how to survive out here. He is being a coach. So great for coach. Christine, on the other hand, is immediately just going to go look for an idol, and everyone notices.
Yeah, last season it was Christina. This season it's Christine. So now we've got the Holly covered, and we've got the Christina covered.
Man, it's just the same season.
It's the same season, just carbon copied.
And this is now strike two for her.
Brandon does not like Michaela, and this is going to be a major story in the pre-merge. And this is another one I think made people uncomfortable, because it is presented like Brandon sees Michaela, you know, to use the term slut-shaming, that's kind of what it feels like. Like, because Michaela is an attractive lingerie football player.
And that's what they have her occupation as, is like lingerie yep. football player. And then they show her, you know, working on the shelter in like really short shorts and, you yep. know, just doing things, by the way, in the attire that Survivor production gave to her. And from my perspective, because I'm not allowed to know any inside baseball here, it really felt like Brandon was just being a little uppity, sanctimonious, holier than thou.
Yes.
You know, she asked for it because she dresses that way kind of vibes.
Yeah, that is certainly uncomfortable. And there's definitely some of that there. There's a little bit more to this story. So Brandon is a recovering alcoholic and like kind of partier. And Michaela, you know, he told his tribe this. And I guess what happened is Michaela still liked to tell all these party stories and still talk about it. Like all she would talk about is like drinking and partying and all this stuff. But what it sounds like, that's what made Brandon uncomfortable more than lust or whatever, you know, the show tries to present it as. I'm, you know, that may have had a component to it. I'm just saying that in you know, still not okay, but there is more to this story.
There might be more. To swing it back the other direction a little bit, they do have several different cuts of Brandon saying, I love my wife.
Yes.
I would never be unfaithful to her, and this is just a test for me.
Really weird.
And so even if there's some of it being Michaela not being, I guess, socially sensitive or respectful of Brandon's wishes, there's a confluence of factors that are all sort of meeting in this really oddly edited negative Michaela to Brandon relationship.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable, I guess, just hearing the stuff that he has to say. And it kind of just sets the theme for how he's going to be presented this entire season.
Yep. It's not great, but, you know, they just wanted to, there is a little bit more here. Yeah. That's the main point. But okay, you're on an island. People are going to wear skimpy clothing. It's fine. Relax yourself.
Yeah.
Coach, Brandon, Albert, Sophie, and Rick, the five of them just happen to go stargazing together. They sit by the canoe and talk, and the five of them are going to form an alliance. So, you know, join in on group activities, people. Whatever the majority of the tribe is doing, you're going with. Because this five is going to control the entire pre-merge.
And for the record, everyone should be stargazing anyway. I just did it a couple weekends ago, and it was amazing.
And make sure it's majority. Keyword majority, there. The thing that, and I remember this the last time that I watched this episode, but the thing that I remember the most from this scene is, where are the other four people during this conversation?
Because we're missing Christine, Stacy, Edna, and
Michaela. Maybe they're sleeping.
And like, I guess, yeah, maybe try not to fall asleep so soon.
Yeah, that's the thing. Try not to go to bed early if the rest of the tribe is still up. We don't know for sure that's what happened, but, you know, just something to keep in mind. Stick with the majority.
It's crazy how four of the five, or I guess those four, happen to be all women.
Yep, only it's the four guys plus Sophie. So
interesting to note.
Immunity challenge on the Savai'i tribe. Cochran's going to have a little difficulty climbing over like this giant wall they have to get over. But more importantly, at the final phase of the challenge, they're throwing coconuts in new baskets. And Semhar just falls apart. She volunteered to do this part of the challenge, and she collapses. And this is a super close challenge. Jeff said it was one coconut away.
One coconut away.
And Semhar just is exhausted.
And keep in mind, she never made a basket. She couldn't throw the coconuts far enough to get it into the net.
I think she made her very first one.
I think she made maybe one or two.
Nothing
but
after
then completely
that.
Fell apart, and they couldn't swap out.
It's one of the few times they gave us a pre-challenge strategizing. Yep. And it's because they wanted us to know. She volunteered.
If you see the pre-challenge strategizing, you know something's going to go horrifically wrong.
For the one person that volunteers for something.
You love to see it. I always love when we get that. After Apollo wins, Svai's going to lose, and then Jim is going to call out Semhar after the challenge. Jim, no. Shut your mouth. Everybody shut up. don't say that. You talk behind your back.
Let her dig her own grave.
Talk behind your back when you get back to camp.
It's great for TV, but if Semhar's going to be like, yeah, this was a team loss, you can be like, yeah, I agree. And then be like, really? Team loss.
Or just don't say anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, you know, not in front of her, but behind her back later.
And they're going to get into it when they get back to camp. Big argument about that. So at this point, everyone's just like, yeah, Semhar should be the one to go. Except Ozzy. Ozzy wants Cochran out instead. And Jim is suspicious of why Ozzy wants to keep Semhar. Like, does he want, like, a showman's with her? Does he want, like, a Robin Amber situation or something like that? Like, a tough duo to control the game? Jim is very scared of this, and this is going to recur throughout the pre-merge of a showman's run into things. Fair.
And he's right.
100% right.
He's exactly right, because we get this confirmation from Ozzy. Not only, and it could literally be both of those things. He said that she's cute, or I don't know what he said, cute, pretty, whatever it might be, and said, like, she'd be a great number. She seems really friendly and a good, like, alliance member.
Luckily, no one lets Ozzy get away with this. It's going to be 8 votes for Semhar, 1 for Cochran. Yeah, it's the right move. She blew the challenge. You know, Cochran wasn't great either, but Semhar blew the challenge. Fair enough to get rid of her, and it keeps Ozzy a little weaker. Now, she did make a decent argument saying, like, hey, I stepped up, you know, at least I had, like, the cojones to do that. Cochran didn't, so, you know, I think Semhar does a decent job trying to defend herself, but I just don't think it was enough, you know, and it was a tough situation.
She did about as good as she could. Yeah, and probably good, like, if we're going to be consultants on this, a good piece of advice is in that pre, like, strategy meeting, try not to, like, stand up for a role that you don't know is necessarily, like, your strongest thing. Like, if you're going to be chucking coconuts into a basket, like, yeah, like, I could do that.
If you're
sure.
If you're an NBA, if you're Scott Pollard or Cliff Robinson, former NBA player, yeah, volunteer there. You got to know you can do it.
Coconuts are heavy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, if you're a gymnast, you can volunteer for the balancing section. You know, stuff like that. Just know your abilities.
If you're a whitewater raft captain, you should volunteer for the paddling challenge.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
shout out to Kelly Wigglesworth. Burn. Losing to a guy who can't even swim.
And I think even worse, I think she actually talked someone else out of it. Like, yeah. I think as someone had actually taken the spot, it's like, no, I got this. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah,
not great.
Why?
So Redemption Island's in the season, so Semhar is going to go to Redemption Island. Let's get into best and worst player of the episode. Josh, who was your best player of the episode?
Okay, so back in 2020 when I first watched this season, I originally said Ozzy for this just because I really liked his frame of mind going into the game and wanting to, and we got this directly in a confessional, about wanting to be a better strategic player and really knowing his faults in the previous seasons. Nowadays, I think I would shift that over to Coach, who also didn't have a great episode, but he did make an alliance on the first day. He's trying to think a little bit differently. I don't know if it's necessarily going to work just based on his social game and the way that people perceive him. We talked earlier in this episode about his self-awareness, so that's going to be really his big thing. But at least for this specific episode, I'd give it to Coach.
I will give an honorable mention to Coach. I'm going to go with Brandon, which caught me by surprise, but I really liked his strategy to hide his last name at first, at least, you know, throughout the first episode, just to build that first impression on your own. And the stuff with Michaela didn't really have, it was just in confessionals, so I didn't really take that in consideration because it didn't seem to have an effect on the game. Plus, he got into the majority alliance, and of the 5 people who got into the majority alliance, it's really between Coach and Brandon, and Coach did blow the first challenge. That was kind of the tiebreaker for me. I don't give him too much fault for it, but, you know, I needed a tiebreaker, so I went Brandon.
I give it to Coach, and I don't ding him at all for losing to Ozzy in a hero challenge that he didn't have a choice in whether or not he was competing. And I also think that even though captains have an advantage because they've played the game before, they still have the biggest hole to kind of dig out of on the first day, because all those other contestants have every reason to vote them out immediately. And Coach in particular, before he even said a word, Christine said, I don't like you.
Temporary player.
I don't want you here. Get gone. So he had to find a way to circumnavigate that pillar, and he finds himself in a majority 5, and his team wins first immunity challenge despite there being some fractures there. And I love how he also showed some growth and self-awareness, saying, these were my mistakes in previous seasons, I'm going to try and rectify those. And so far, it seems like he's doing that. And he was a coach, not a leader to his new tribe. And I thought that was, again, very good.
I agree. You know, this is a situation where I could, you know, I could potentially be talked into switching into Coach, but I don't have to necessarily do that because you guys win this round.
Yeah.
but I, you know, whatever. I'll agree with you guys. Like, it's so close. Like, sure. Yeah.
Sucker.
That's fine. How about worst player?
I'm going to give it to Cochran here, and Pastrosh did this too. He, yes, he was saved, but I don't think it was anything that he necessarily did. It was very just reactive based on other people getting Semhar out instead of him. He was the primary target. Ozzy made him look weak just based on his argument to get him out. So that's in everyone's heads now. I think that Cochran could very likely be the next person to go if they're to go to Tribal Council, just because he's one of the weakest people on the tribe. He did not great in the immunity challenge. You know, yeah, he's good socially right now, but that can only get you so far. So, and it's not like he really did anything like terrible that I can knock, but I think it's just because he's in the worst position going forward. At least in my opinion, it appears that way. So that's why I give it to him.
I went with Christine because she called out Coach Nazi immediately and then went looking for an idol, and everyone saw.
And I'll just tack on that she wasn't stargazing on the beach and is therefore out of the Alliance of Five. So I also had Christine. Dishonorable mention to Cochran, not necessarily for his stature, but because I do feel like he got a bit too defensive and reactive at Tribal Council. It was an 8-1 vote. Obviously, he had a very poor read on the situation and didn't need to defend himself that badly.
Well, and one other thing that I didn't mention, too, is during the challenge when he couldn't get up the wall. Yeah, like that's not good. But after the fact, I believe it was at Tribal Council. He didn't really realize that it was that bad of a thing. Yeah. He's like, it wasn't that bad. And everyone's like, it was that bad. Yeah. It
wasn't great.
And he's like, oh, okay.
So noted.
So let's get into some winner picks. Derek, who's your winner pick?
Yeah. So as you guys all know, I try to pick a couple people from each tribe to narrow it down to. If there's one thing I've learned about captain seasons, the captain from both tribes should be on a short list to win. So there's Coach, there's Ozzy. What's funny, early on in the episode, I made a note that I kind of like Semhar, and then further on into the episode, I actually said, you know what, I think she might even be a little bit too talkative and not be able to really contain her emotions. And I think that ended up being a pretty darn good read because, you know, she's on Redemption Island now. I also made a note that on Upolu, Sophie and Edna both look good. I liked Edna because she was the only one to pick up Coach, so that could have ties down the road. And then Sophie was talking Russian with Coach and then was the only woman on the beach stargazing with the men. Cut that how you will, it makes a difference, I think. So I like both of them. And I said absolutely no for Christine, and I didn't like Jim, and I didn't like pretty much anyone else over on Savai. So Ozzy ended up being my Savai. So I didn't end up picking anyone there, and I didn't like Ozzy. I do think he's more flawed than Coach as a Survivor player at this point. So it was down to Sophie, Coach, and Edna, and I landed on Coach because I cannot bet against a captain anymore through 23 seasons.
Who'd have thought?
Hey, he's in a great spot.
Not me.
He's in an alliance of five. He seems to have a good handle on his self-awareness based on episode one. Stephanie made it to the end. Rob won. There's no reason that Coach can't take this all the way to the end and win.
Josh, do you remember who you picked? Did you write this down in your notes?
Good. So similar to Derek, I feel like this is kind of like a nice like evolution of Derek and Josh, where
you guys needed
both of us completely write off captains, say there's zero chance that they're gonna win, no one should let them get to the end, and even if they do, people won't want to vote for them, to being like, oh, you know, they can win, but still not gonna pick them because there's like they shouldn't be able to get to the end, to now being like, oh wow, they're the favorites, everyone loses to them, so winner picks are going to be one of the two captains. And while I still while I'm going to weight captains much heavier now going forward, I think that those captains need to be a little bit more complete players in order to actually pick them. So I'm not going to pick either Ozzy or Coach here. If I had to pick one, I actually don't know what one I would do, so I'm not even going to toss that out there. But I think that they just have too many flaws in their game that can be poked around that people are going to just try to vote them off, especially after seeing a captain win so recently. So in saying that, like Derek, I didn't really see anyone on Savai that I liked. If anything, I like Cochran as a wild card more than anything, because I think if he gets through the early part of the game, he has a chance to just go and win because he's so knowledgeable on the game and can have a really good social game. He just needs to get out of the very beginning, and he has a chance. From Upolu, I had Michaela, Edna, and Sophie as my three people that I'd probably choose between here. Michaela, just because she had a nice confessional. Sophie, because we saw a little bit from her and she was a part of the alliance on the beach, like Derek was saying. And then Edna, because she was the one person that approached Coach to be able to actually try to connect with him at Redemption Island. So that really stood out to me as well. And although it might be a little bit more of a dark horse pick, I'm going to go with Edna here as my winner pick.
So I just want to point out that even little kid Ryan, back when Guatemala aired, picked a captain to win and has done it every time. So who's the dumb kid now?
You.
Stephanie made it to the end. She was my pick.
She lost to Danny.
She made it to the end. And then Russell was my initial pick. Then I switched to Rob. I'm just saying, I was on this train before everyone else.
Congratulations.
I'm going to stay on this train. I ended up picking Ozzy back in the day just because I thought throughout what we'd seen so far, Ozzy was the more competent player over Coach. I'd probably stand by that if I was watching this for the first time now. Has that opinion of who is the more competent player overall changed? Perhaps. We'll see. I won't reveal that till a later date. But I think I would have stuck with Ozzy at the time because I'm picking a captain, period.
I also have a note on here. I would never pick Cochran because he's a law student, and I don't pick lawyers or law students.
Since I mentioned poker players earlier, like Derek has his law people, I have my poker people.
But I guess he wasn't a poker player when he played the first time, but that was his job when he played on Redemption Island. It was Boston Rob as a poker player.
Hmm.
So.
All right.
Do with that information what you will. Episode 2, he has demons. Keith and Ozzy, they make an alliance, and later Jim approaches them about making an alliance. And the format of the alliance is they are the three, and they have Whitney and Elise as their 4 and 5, who they can cut if need be. So that is the alliance of five, but it's less equal than the Apollo 5, it seems. On Apollo, Coach and Edna make a side alliance because they have a pretty good relationship. So they have an alliance going on, too. Cochran, after being called out so heavily at the previous tribal council, he is going to be a worker bee and really focus on just providing as much as he can at camp, which is good. We like to see it. If you're on the bottom, you know, it can only help you.
Do what you can.
Ozzy is going to find the hidden immunity idol. Good for my winner pick, you guys. Looking good.
Look at you.
Then we have Brandon and Coach bonding over religion. Both of them are deeply devout Christians, and this is going to be a huge impact on the season. And this is where Brandon decides to tell Coach his last name. And Coach immediately has, like, PTSD flashbacks to Heroes versus Villains.
I could hear the helicopters in the background, you know? The machine guns. Just, the lights in his eyes.
He's like, oh, God.
Mark Burnett has a sick sense of humor.
He really does.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does. Savai's going to win immunity this time, and I'll just spoil this now, but it's going to be a very back-and-forth battle. It's literally every other immunity challenge throughout the entire pre-merge.
It made it fun.
It's really, really fun. It felt like a war between these two tribes.
It makes every immunity challenge, you know, impactful. There are stakes every single time.
Because it's so close every time. These are very balanced tribes. So, on Apollo, Kosh wants to split the votes between Christine and Stacy. They're the two outsiders. Christine's obvious. Stacy, very bad move, has attached herself to Christine. Which is really too bad, because Stacy is low-key one of my favorite people on the season.
She's easily a top personality that didn't really get a chance to develop because of, you know, spoilers, she's going to go pretty early.
Yeah.
But I like Stacy a lot.
She's so funny, even when I can't understand what she's saying.
I was going to say, so being just a Midwestern guy, I had a heck of a time trying to decipher everything that she was saying. I turned on subtitles, and I was like, okay, I get it now.
She has a very thick accent. And she is wonderful. She is such a character. I love Stacy.
I could listen to her talk for hours and then have someone transcribe it, and then I would read it, and it would be amazing.
Brandon wants Michaela out of the game for very strictly personal reasons. So Brandon has decided he's not going to lie at all in this game. Brandon proceeds to lie. He says Stacy and Christine are planning on voting for Michaela. So Brandon's like, hey, Alliance, you better jump on board. And this is not true at all. He told Christine and Stacy to vote for Michaela. So, yeah. And that's fine, except Brandon wants to play honor and integrity. You can't do both. And that's kind of Brandon's whole conflict this pre-merge is, what is smart gameplay versus honor and integrity? Guess what? Those two things don't really work together unless you're Fabio.
He's kind of like caught in a mix-up of Coach and Russell. Yep. like just mesh together.
So there's a moment, I think it might even be the next episode, not this one, where he's like, good, evil, good, evil, good, evil, good, evil. And I just feel like I'm being tugged in every direction. This was the proof for me that I needed to see that he's coming off of a pretty dark place in his life. And he's found some, you know, solemnity and some peace in his faith. A game like Survivor is not good for you if you are trying to literally get your life back on track and you're not deep into that journey. And I don't think he was. And I think that every time he needed to do something or thought about doing something, good Survivor, that's like bad human in civilized society. And it's where I do have some pity for Brandon.
Yeah, I don't think he should have been cast. I think that is a little negligent on Survivor's part to put him on the show. You know, Brandon at 30 years old might be a different story.
Maybe.
But kid's 19 and clearly not okay.
And he's not able to separate the game from real life or anything like that right now.
And I feel like a lot of 19-year-olds would have that problem.
And
yeah.
And you know what? And that's where officially right now, I'm going to say it. I'm done grading Brandon in terms of Survivor. Like, he still could win Worst Player of the Episode. But
or Best.
He could win best or worst. He absolutely can. But I am done assuming that he is trying to make the best moves to win the game.
Yeah, because he's not. He's actively not.
He's actively not. So this podcast is going to get a lot easier for everyone to understand. Yep. If you know, I'm done grading him as a Survivor player. He's choosing to be a good person, at least as good as he can be.
Trying to be.
Good for him. That's part of the game. That's part of the social dynamic. And now we just get to see how everybody reacts to that.
That's not how you win, but, you know, if that's not your goal, that's fine. That's absolutely fine, but that's just not what we're here to discuss.
Yes, so. Exactly.
For those wondering, I'll still grade him.
Yeah, I will absolutely still grade him, too, but it's just, like, he's not playing with the same rubric we are.
There's an asterisk.
Yeah, absolutely. So, at this point, the Apollo 5 plus Edna, they're all strategizing, and Michaela walks over to join them, and Coach is like, hey, can we get some privacy? No, don't do that. Just... Don't Whoops. Say that out loud, Coach.
And then he just walks away.
Absolute mess. Christine is trying to get information out of Edna and catches her in a lie. And Edna says, "Oh, like, I think the target's Michaela." And Christine's like, "No, you were talking to Michaela. That's what that conversation I'm asking you about, Michaela was there." And Edna's just like, I don't know. Absolute chaos. I love it. Josh, your Winnipeg's looking real good.
Yeah, this is not a good start one episode in.
Oof. This would have been a lot worse if Christine had found the idol.
Yes. Coach, immediately at Tribal Council, he's going to throw everything out there today. He's like, I'm not 100% sure what was going on, but here's what I have heard, that Christine and Stacy are targeting Michaela. This is what I was told. And Christine and Stacy are like, no, you're full of crap. And Coach is like, I didn't say that you were doing that. I'm saying that's what I was told. And basically, eventually, Brandon's going to end up fessing up to everything that he was lying and manipulating people, trying to.
It was a good run.
It's going to end up being a split. They're going to end up splitting 4 votes for Christine, 3 votes for Stacy. The Apollo 5 plus Edna plus Michaela all get on board for this. Whereas Christine and Stacy, they vote for Edna and Sophie.
Just because.
Why? I don't know. You know, maybe it should have been a split between Christine and Michaela just to make Brandon happy. Like... You have 3 people on the outside. Does it really matter? Like, yeah, obviously Christine might be target number one just because of what she said. But I don't think Coach or Brandon should have, like, fought so hard for, like, one or the other. Just, like, just pick one. It's fine.
And I will say, with the Redemption Island component, if you're going to send Michaela there, you might want to try and have that be on better terms. Because she's the kind of... She's a very strong woman. She's very athletic. She could very well run the table and get back into the game. So, like, don't put votes on people that you might need to break bread with if you don't have to. And Stacy and Christine, just based on first impressions only, are not people that you would expect to get through the gauntlet of they're both Redemption Island. Exactly.
Turns out... Powerhouses.
Yeah.
Physically, Apollo, you know, you remove Edna from the equation, possibly one of the strongest tribes ever assembled.
Absolutely.
Either way, Coach and Brandon both pushed too hard on this one. So I think the right person ended up going home, but it was an absolute mess to get here. I love it. Derek, who did you have for best player of the episode?
Well, nobody on Upolu because that was an absolute mess. So I had Ozzy. I felt like it was a pretty good bounce back episode after just some things in episode one with Samar. He was able to kind of brush it off a little bit. He found the idol. His team won immunity. He is now in a majority alliance with a couple different ways to work that alliance depending on what he needs. So I had Ozzy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's Ozzy.
I also had Ozzy.
Look at us.
Look at us.
How about worst player?
So I landed on Brandon. One, I thought it was too early to give away his identity to Coach because now Coach has that on the ammo belt as something that Brandon is keeping from everyone else. Coach could have used that against Brandon if he wanted to. He chose not to. So you could call it a good read from Brandon, but also then saying, I'm going to play with honor and integrity, and then getting caught in a lie and fessing up to it at Tribal Council. I felt like that was, again, pretty hurtful for his game. I know that Coach could have handled the situation with Christine and Michaela a little bit better, but ultimately Christine does go home. They do have the power. And so the person who's sort of caught two timing it, which, say what you want, Coach didn't two time anything this episode. Brandon did. I think a flipper has a worse look than someone who's in a majority alliance just making a decision. So I had Brandon.
I will give dishonorable mentions to both Coach and Brandon. The one thing that saved them, especially Brandon, I think, is eventually at the end they did come together. And they were united in their split vote. There was a mess getting there, and it was not great for either of them, especially for Brandon. I went with a more background pick with Stacy as my worst player of the episode, as much as I love her. Because she allied herself with someone who's clearly the outsider. And she specifically like almost made themselves a twosome. That might be one of the worst moves you can possibly do in Survivor is, well, I'm going to align with just the outsider. And then she ended up being left out of the vote. So she's too close to this outsider, left out, and not even part of this whole flawed conversation that happened in this episode. So I had Stacy.
I think that's a pretty good argument for Stacy. Originally, I said Brandon was my worst. And I think I'm still going to stick with that and side with Derek here. Dishonorable mention, though, definitely to Stacy. But I think the difference for me is at least, yeah, they kind of came together, but it's really the perception more than anything really shifted for him this episode. So that's why I'm going to stick with it.
Can't argue with it at all. I absolutely can't. I'm happy to concede to Brandon again. It's totally fine.
I should probably go with Stacy just because we're probably going to get more Brandon here, but whatever.
You know, this is a situation where I think the obvious pick is Brandon, and because of how I do my point system, Stacy's points just racked up. So that's why I ended up going with Stacy. So plus, I thought it was interesting because she was definitely more of a background player this episode. Episode 3, Reap What You Sow. We're going to have our first Redemption Island duel of the season. It's Christine versus Semhar. Semhar is going to give a weird poem, reverse poetry, before she does the challenge.
Spoken word. Remember, that's her occupation. Spoken word. She's a spoken word artist.
Poetry's lost on me, guys.
I don't like free verse poetry, which means that I pretty much hate spoken word. I think the whole point of poetry is to have meter and to have like a rhyme scheme, even if it's not at the end of a line. This is just a personal opinion. If you like Walt Whitman and free verse poetry and spoken word, more power to you. Let me know on social media that I'm dead wrong. Perfectly happy with that. But this was really cringe for me.
So I want to say I was an English major for a time at the University of Iowa, and I hate poetry. I think poetry is worthless and garbage and has nothing useful to give to society. I despise poetry. Hence might be why I ended up switching my major. I think that was part of it.
You know, since we're all giving our poetry takes here today, I align similarly with Derek here, where I can appreciate poetry. I like it to a certain extent, but when it's, you know, very flowy and, you know, not very structured, if someone just starts talking and it's, you know, spoken word or anything like that, you just feel really uncomfortable. It's like if someone just like kind of feels the need to like start singing or something, just be like, oh, look at me, I'm gonna go ahead and sing a song now, and I'm gonna do some poetry now.
Maybe this is just our Midwestern upbringing rearing its ugly head.
It's possible. I do want to point out, though, I have had Robert Frost in my Twitter bio for over 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So say what you will. I used to really, really like the idea of writing poetry and searching for deeper meaning in poetry. I don't really do that anymore, but I absolutely get the allure. I just never liked free verse. I felt like that was too easy.
The best poet there is out there is Leprechaun from the Leprechaun movies.
I thought you were going to say the Dead Poet Society.
That is a great movie. But no, it's absolutely Leprechaun. The dirty and raunchier the poem is, the more I like it. Because the rest of it's useless. Anyway,
let's start a poetry podcast.
Leppin' the hood up to do no good.
Exactly. Christine is going to defeat Semhar, and I'm pretty happy about that one. I didn't need any more free verse on my survivor.
Bye-bye.
Brandon is going to tell everyone he's Russell's nephew at this point, and I think he needed to. You can't wear your shirt the whole season. And at this point, you know, it's too bad he hasn't built a better reputation for himself. But at least they know who you are, and hopefully they're less likely to judge you for the actions of Russell.
I just wanted to point out, this was, again, another... This whole pre-merge is just filled with cringe. But you could see, like, Brandon, he was trying to work out the best, like, segue into him being a Hans. He's like, oh, gee whiz, man, I just, like, want to take my shirt off. He says it out loud to everybody, then takes his shirt off and says, everybody gather round.
I have something to show you. Oh god, what's he gonna show us?
That's the Brandon move. Is I'm gonna call a group meeting. He might do it more than anybody else. He does a lot of them.
He just wants to get on a soapbox, and you know, he's the town crier.
Yes.
Whether the news is good or bad, he's gonna give it. So
Michaela is going to confront Brandon about why he was gunning for her. And he's like, it's strictly personal.
It's nothing you did. I just don't like you.
I just don't like you.
And then he proceeds to take her into camp and be like, literally, does anybody like Michaela?
Town meeting, everybody. Does anyone actually like Michaela? Oh my gosh.
What is going on?
He's like, you have no alliance and no one likes you. Okay, bye. Whoa. Damn.
Have we seen someone like Brandon before? Like, can you think of anyone up until this point?
Oh, we've had open forum moments through 23 seasons, but I don't think we've ever had someone call a session. There was one on Fiji. Who was it? Dreams?
Oh, Dreams called one before, and he was like, hey, we should all just vote out, like, what was it, Cassandra or Lisi or something,
yeah,
right?
And it was just kind of like... Why are you open forumming that here right now? This may be the closest example, but this had almost no bearing on the strategic aspect of the game.
Chaos.
He just was like, oh, you want to know why I don't like you? It's because nobody likes you. And then proof. Oh my gosh.
And this makes Brandon's whole alliance like, ugh, I don't know about working with this guy.
Fair.
Fair.
It's the wild card factor, you know?
Now everyone's saying, I see a little Russell in there.
Yep, a little bit. And I don't think they're actually that similar. You know, they both have the determination, and I think they're both a little chaotic, but I think that's pretty much where the similarities end between the two of them.
They also neither have that little red button in your brain that tells you when not to say something.
Sure, sure, they're missing that. And that might be the whole Hans family.
Is it like a chaotic, like, evil versus chaotic, like, neutral?
Well for
maybe?
Brandon, it's chaotic evil versus chaotic good. I got chaotic good and chaotic evil both pulling at me.
I don't know which D&D character I am.
Yeah, he's figuring out his alignment. Ozzy is going to tell Keith about his idol. And he's like, I'm not going to tell anybody about the idol. He's going to tell Keith about the idol. Keith is immediately going to tell Whitney. They're like, oh, cool. We're good. We can use that to our advantage. Apollo's going to win immunity. And this is actually kind of a callback to Survivor Tokushin's. Coach won individual immunity in a grappling hook challenge. There's a grappling hook component to this challenge, and that's where they win it. Coach's grappling hook. Coach is the best grappling hook Survivor contestant of all time.
I mean, he's got the experience.
Yeah, all those Amazon quests. So Apollo's going to win immunity thanks to Coach. Savai plans to take out Papa Bear next. And, you know, we didn't really talk about this here. So Mark, he's going to go by Papa Bear.
There's a reason we didn't mention it.
Yeah.
It has almost no bearing on the season.
So he's known as Papa Bear. Everyone refers to him as Papa Bear. So he is seen as the weakest person on the tribe. He's an older guy. So they tell Cochran it's going to be Papa Bear. They also tell Papa Bear it's going to be Cochran. And Papa Bear's like, I'm not an idiot. Because the guy was a detective. So he's going to sprint off into the idol. And everybody's like, I've never seen Papa Bear move that fast. He's going to sprint off into the jungle looking for an idol. He doesn't find it. He's going to put a fake one in his crotch and then tell Jim he found the idol. I just love this chaotic Papa Bear energy. It's hilarious.
I mean, good for him. Like, if it's between you and someone else, like, yeah, it might end up being Cochran, but it'll probably be you after him. So,
And what's interesting is that it does have some bearing on the vote a little bit, because, you know, Ozzy and Keith can't reveal that Ozzy found the idol. So how do you plan as though he may have found the idol because of Jim, well, not revealing that you have it? So
Jim is worried.
This is a perfect example of why a fake idol or a bulge in your pocket is a perfectly good strategy. Real good callback to Rupert and Heroes versus Villains.
It can work. It absolutely can work. It just creates a sense of paranoia, and that can... Chaos is a ladder. Paranoia creates chaos. It didn't work here.
Chaos is a ladder. Littlefinger, Karishma.
So Tribal Council is going to be 6 votes for Papa Bear, 1 vote for Cochran. Jim is the one who's going to vote for Cochran, and then Papa Bear is going to vote for Jim, just kind of out of spite. But Jim was worried, so he threw a vote on Cochran just to be safe.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Why not?
This is the right move, I think, yeah. Y'all come together and vote out physically the weakest person who is potentially causing trouble. Cool.
Yeah, I agree with it. They do have conversations about Cochran being able to contribute on more heady cerebral challenges. And not saying that Papa Bear couldn't do it. It's just they all see him as like the stereotypical Harvard intellectual guy.
Yeah.
Who's a super fan of Survivor to boot.
Yes.
So it's a good enough move. I'm fine with it.
He has very obvious strengths.
Yes.
Even if he has very obvious weaknesses, too.
For best player of the episode, I had Keith Tollefson. He got Ozzy to tell him about the idol. He told Winnie about it, which increased their bond. And then he knocked out Papa Bear. So I have Keith.
I had written down Coach with the reasoning there's not a lot here. He kind of played hero in the challenge, and he further cemented his alliance. He was able to calm Brandon down a little bit. But I think I'm okay with Keith after hearing your reasoning. So I'll switch to Keith, but honorable mention to Coach, but there wasn't a lot here for any of our big players.
Sure. I can't tie break right now because you guys agreed with each other, but I'm curious now. I put down Sophie as mine. Would there be a reason for that?
Oh God.
She hasn't had many confessionals. I think she only had one or two maybe in this episode. She didn't talk a lot in the beginning of the season at all.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Maybe I just didn't really feel too strongly about anyone else. And she had maybe she did well in a challenge or something.
Could be. Could very well be. I'm not sure.
Who knows?
Worst player, I have Brandon because erratic gameplay. That's all I put, erratic gameplay.
And I had Ozzy because he told people about his idol for absolutely no reason.
Okay. Josh?
You know, as good of a reason as that is, I'm still going to go with Brandon here. It's what I put before, and I'm just going to trust the fact that it should be him.
It was bad. It was bad. All right, episode 4, survivalism. Ozzy and Elise, they're cuddling a lot, which it makes Jim worried. Fair. Absolutely.
He was
fair.
Already worried about Semhar before. He's going to be worried about someone else now.
Ozzy's moved on to the next hottie. Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was about to make a joke, just vote out all the women on the tribe, but Ozzy is out as bisexual. So you just got to vote out everybody on Savaii except yourself. And
vote out everyone until Ozzy's the sole survivor. Oh, wait. What? No.
Checkmate non-bisexuals.
Flawless strategy.
So Jim wants to take out Elise next and switch things up, break this alliance early. He wants to weaken Ozzy. And this is something we saw a lot of in 40 Winners at War, where you're not taking out the biggest threat, but you're taking out their closest alliance member, basically kind of trying to neuter the power players, but keeping them in the game because they're such a big target.
I was going to say you're sucking out the venom.
Yep.
Because this is what they did to Kim Spradlin Wolf in season 40. Yep. They just kept taking any leverage away she had. So she ended up being toothless in the game.
And they tried to do it in Boston Rob with some results.
Yeah, a modicum of success.
Some success, some
You can only do so much to take the venom away from Boston Rob.
So yeah, so it's a sound strategy if you want to keep that big meat shield in the game.
Yep.
Especially with returning players. So Jim brings Cochran on board with this plan. Jim Cochran's been on the bottom this whole time, so he's on board.
Any plan that doesn't involve voting out Cochran, he's on the Sandra boat right now.
Yes.
Anybody but me.
Brandon decides he's not going to lie anymore in this game. Okay.
This is the second time we've decided this.
I'm sure this will work.
We'll see how long it lasts this time. He apologizes to Michaela, and she's like, okay, but, maybe you shouldn't have done this crap in the first place.
Fair.
And then he goes and tells Edna, by the way, you're not actually in the majority. It's a 5, not a 6. Jeez, Brandon.
He said he wasn't going to lie.
Jim strategizes nonstop, to the point it's actually annoying Ozzy. And so Jim and Cochran, they're going to go off and watch the Redemption Island duel. Just like last season, 2 people can go watch. And Ozzy makes fun of him as he's gone. He's like, oh, no, we're going to strategize. But he basically shuts down all strategy talk, which we've seen before. That's kind of what Boston Rob did last season. Not great. And it really pisses off Dawn. She's like, the audacity of this guy to try and shut down all strategy. I know what he's up to. He doesn't want any strategy talk going on unless he's involved. So good for Dawn.
It's good for Dawn. I don't hate it for Ozzy, especially because we do get not quite a super cut, but a pretty good cut of Jim being annoyingly strategic with his conversations.
It's fine to make fun of Jim, behind his back. But, like, they're trying to shut down all strategy talk. Not a good direction to go. Boston Rob could pull it off, and that's about it.
It's a bold strategy. We'll see if Ozzy can do it.
So, this allows Cochran to bring Don in on the plan to take out Elise next. So, one by one, we're getting the players in line. At the duel, Brandon's going to go to this duel, and he's going to apologize to Christine. She's whatever about it. She's going to defeat Papa Bear in the Redemption Island duel. And what's fun is these two are best friends now.
I love it.
They're both from, like, New York, Long Island area, so they're just, like, best friends.
Christine and Papa Bear?
Yep. So there's the end of Papa Bear. Edna tries to work on her social game, and she's going about this the wrong way because her idea is just to ask people nonstop questions, just pepper them with questions. And so this is kind of a tricky line to walk because I do think that can work. If you get people to open up and talk about themselves, that's a good way to get to know them, ask people questions. But if it doesn't feel genuine, that will rub people the wrong way. But also, if they don't like you already, that isn't going to work because it's just going to annoy them. So, yeah, I feel for Edna, and, like, her line of thinking is sound, but I just don't think she has that social capital with especially Stacy and Michaela to pull this off.
This goes back to first impressions, I think, because how it starts is how it goes, and how it ends is how it is. So how it starts, you need to be willing to be social with people, not just strategic, not just using people as pawns. You have to open up lines of communication early. Now, it might be the best move for her now to try and, like, change that perception by, you know, perhaps being too social and asking too many questions. You know, it's an overcorrection, but a correction that needs to be made. So I can't tell her the best way to do this. So fine, as long as she's changing,
yep,
good. But, you know, this is a day one mistake, you know, because after helping Coach grab his bags on the beach, it seems like she kind of stopped building social bonds, yep, there, at least to a certain extent.
We're going to get a real badass immunity challenge. It's the weight-bearing challenge, which we've seen a few times.
I love these.
It's absolutely badass. Brandon and Jim are going to set the new record at 240 pounds, but eventually it's going to become a showdown of Don versus Stacy, and it's awesome. Absolutely badass, and Don is going to pull it off and win. I don't think any of us had that on our bingo card.
No. Yeah, Stacy looks very strong.
Yep.
And I specifically remember that.
They were both great.
Excellent. Excellent challenge. So Savai's going to win because of Don. It's really great. I love Don.
And it just goes to show you another challenge that is just so close.
Yep.
Insanely close.
So for Apollo, it's either Edna or Stacy. Edna's the weakest, and it's not close. Stacy's on the outside. She's got no real bonds with really anybody. So Stacy starts trying to, like, stir up trouble. She tells Brandon to, like, watch out for Albert, Michaela, and Sophie. And this makes Brandon paranoid, and he's going to go to Coach and just be like, we got a problem. And Coach is like, all right, you need to effing stop. Just stop. Calm down. He gets actually angry and shuts this down.
It's one of the few moments of, I want to say, total vulnerability, because you always see measured responses in Survivor, or ones that are held back or maybe amended, or, you know, you adjust your gain a little bit. Coach, like, shouted across this fire pit, how dare you come to me and tell me that someone at death's door is saying that our alliance is trying to mess us up? If you have that little trust, you might as well quit. That is, he says it's BS.
Yep.
He's like, that is bad. That is awful, and you should feel bad.
We're in episode 4. It's going to get so much worse.
That was the key thing. He's like, if you think this is bad, this is going to get so much worse. You can't be doing this. And I just felt like it was one of the most, like, real conversations or one-sided conversations I've ever seen from anyone in the show ever.
Yep.
Because he was just pissed.
Well, and there's a difference between being caught off guard by someone just, like, coming at you and just like with a wild idea, and just being like, whoa, what are you talking about? Calm down. It's okay. Like, settle. Let's go through this. It's obvious that, you know, we've seen this multiple times now from Brandon. Like, Coach is already fed up with it, and he's just, like, he's already at his ends. So it's, I don't know how anyone would really be able to hold it together here.
Well, and I don't know if it's now. It might be maybe an episode or two from now, but Coach is going to say, we've got him. We can handle Brandon. I will handle Brandon. I have to wonder if those gears are already turning at this point, because I feel like this is where Coach figured out that he needs a long-term plan if Brandon is going to stick around.
And that's the big question. Should Brannon stick around? And someone that volatile in your alliance is not great. It's not something you want to do. Again, I think by all accounts, Brannon got a negative edit. He was much more well-liked than was presented to us. So, you know, I'll trust the players a little bit more on this, but that's something to keep in mind is, you know, volatile people are bad for alliances.
And there are plenty of good people who should get voted out of Survivor.
Yep. So, we'll see.
And I can take the opportunity now, just because I did write this in my notes during this episode, that I would vote out Brannon this episode if I was in that alliance with him, just because you can't have that kind of wild card with you the entire game. Like if you're seeing this alliance go through to late stages of the game, there are going to be so many opportunities for him to blow up your plans and just cause just mayhem in this game for you. So if you need to swap him out for someone like Edna, who's right on the outside, do it now while you can, and yep, while you can still bring someone else in to support your numbers.
Swap out Brannon for Edna. I do think getting rid of Stacy is a good call, because Brannon might be with you, might not be with you, but Stacy's not with you. Just not. And she is, like, opposed to you.
You don't know if there's going to be a swap or anything either.
Yeah, so I'd rather, you know, keeping Brannon over Stacy, I think, is the right call. But Edna is better than Brannon.
And I'll even break that tie a bit further. Christine is still on Redemption Island. You can't have Christine and Stacy possibly together back under any scenario. You need one of them to eat the other one on Redemption.
Exactly.
So I think Stacy is the right move here.
It's going to be between Edna and Stacy. So Tribal Council, it's going to be end up being 7 votes for Stacy, 1 vote for Edna. Coach is like, let's all give Stacy a hug on the way out the door. And she's like, no, you leave me alone. And then, you know, she wants nothing to do with it. Absolutely hilarious, because Coach tried the same thing with Rob back in Heroes versus Villains. You're a little man, Coach.
You're a little man.
Oh, Rob.
One thing I will give Coach and company props, they all did a very good job of saying, like, it's not Stacy's fault we lost the challenge. There are reasons we're voting her out, but, like,
challenge is not why.
She put in her heart and soul and did everything she could. So there's that has nothing to do with it. There's no blame to give.
So overall, I think Stacy's a fine move.
With Redemption Island in play and Christine currently there, it's the right move. I don't just think that this was not a wrong move. This is the right move.
Okay. It works. I still think that now is a perfect time than any to, you know, make the swap with Brannon. Just like cut him out now before anything gets worse. But you could also see it as, yeah, well, we could have another opportunity to be able to do that before the merge happens. As long as you're able to, if you want to like try to swap out someone like Edna, as long as you keep her like safe and comfortable and let her know that she's already above Brannon in the pecking order.
That's what they should do. If they had voted out Brannon, I wouldn't have questioned it.
Nope.
I would be like, yeah, I get it. But I do think overall Stacy's probably the best move on paper.
In that multiverse, Derek says, I'm fine with the move. I'm going to trust the players. If they felt they had to cut out the X Factor, they had to cut out the X Factor.
I'll trust the tribe here is what I wrote in my notes. Derek, who did you have for best player of the episode?
So, again, I actually just said Coach, I guess. I don't really see a ton of great gameplay here. I like the fact that he's getting stern with Brannon, because clearly Brannon sees him as a mentor. So whereas this is a very careful line you need to walk, I don't think Brannon took that speech from Coach in the wrong way. And otherwise, we would have gotten a confessional about Brannon feeling attacked by Coach. We did not get that. And he was able to keep his alliance in line. They voted out Stacy, and I liked the fact that he gave everyone their props, and he is still making most of Upolu feel like they are a tribe of equals. So there, I didn't really see a lot that I liked from either tribe. You know, Don kind of doesn't like Ozzy. Jim is over-strategizing. Cochran is happy because other people are planning things. You know, there's not a lot of good gameplay happening right now.
Well, I didn't like the Coach yelling at Brannon thing. So I ended up giving mine to Dawn, because she is strategizing with Cochran and Jim to change the game up and take Elise out. And she also won the immunity challenge. So I gave it to Dawn.
Nice. This makes it easy because I said Dawn when I first watched it. So
love it. I've got no big quarrels with
Team
that.
Josh and Ryan.
Hell yeah. How about worst player?
I had Jim. I know that he ended up in the beginnings of a plot, but he was over-strategizing, and I think once people have that image in their head of you being the guy who's over-strategizing, people are going to want to vote you out early. We see that time and time again. If all you want to do is talk strategy, people don't want you there. I've seen it happen many times before, and so I give it to Jim.
Rob Cesternino, All-Stars.
Yeah, Rob Cesternino, over-strategizing on All-Stars, immediately voted out.
Yep, I had Brannon. Josh?
I also had Brandon. Sorry, Derek. It's too
no,
easy.
No, don't apologize. What was it? Three episodes ago, I said I'm basically done grading Brandon because yep. I don't think he can win the game. This is just me saying, like, hey, look at what else is happening other than Brandon making more bad moves.
It's like the Philip vote.
It's like the Philip vote. Here's the thing, though. Derek, Brandon can win the game.
He might be able to win the game.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. Brandon can really win this game. Like, remember what I was telling you about a negative edit? Yeah. Brandon can win this game.
Really?
And yeah. I know it's hard to see. Adjust your TV because Brandon can win this game.
It doesn't matter how much you adjust it. You can't see it.
Yeah, you just, really just can't. But that you need to add that into your mind somehow.
I'll keep it on some kind of warmer on my oven.
Because not only could Brandon win this game, when I do my pecking order, he will be near the top. And that is based on exit interviews and stuff.
That's
like that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, because I'm being given my edit,
yes.
I am done grading Brandon, pretty much. Like, he can still do bad things, and we will talk about him, and they are bad.
You know, I like the additional perspective, you know? It's kind of like a dishonorable mention.
Just a nonstop dishonorable mentions. Episode 5, Taste the Victory. So, Albert, Michaela, and then Dawn and Whitney, they're all going to attend this duel. And Stacy just spills the beans. She calls out, it's Coach, then Albert, then Sophie, and that is the three people who are running Upolu in that order.
Benjamin,
not Coach. Benjamin. That's what she calls him.
Coach is not his name. That is not the name that his mama gave him. It is Benjamin.
So now Savai knows Upolu's secrets. Christine is going to end up defeating Stacy. A sad day. I love Stacy.
I do wish we'd gotten more of Stacy.
Wonderful. Don and Whitney, they come back and they fill in the tribe on what happened. Ozzy makes just kind of an off-the-cuff remark like, wow, huh, that's crazy. Coach should probably go after Albert next before the merge. Okay, so what you're saying is Coach should take out his right-hand man before the merge. That's what Ozzy is saying.
That's Keith or Jim.
Jim's like, oh, what? And I don't know why, but in this moment, this felt Jim's confessional responding to that felt like, I'm like, am I watching Josh on Survivor? It just felt like it made your Josh vibes.
Oh, I feel like I need to go watch it now.
Just like his response to that is just like, I feel like this has happened in a board game we've played where Josh has made this exact same remark. To me or something like that. Major Josh vibe.
What episode we're on? I'll have to watch it after
episode
after
5, Taste the Victory.
Like kind of near the beginning.
Yeah, near the beginning after cool. Redemption Island duel.
Easy. Perfect.
Albert's gonna find the idol clue. He cannot find the idol, so he's gonna tell Coach and Sophie about it, and Coach is gonna find the idol. Oh, Albert, you just looked a little harder. You fool. So both our returning players have the idols. Great.
Exactly what we all predicted.
Hey, that's why you pick returners. That's why you pick captains.
They know where to look.
Coach is going to tell Albert and Sophie about the idol, though. So those three all know that Coach has the idol. And it's a little different for Coach. I still think he shouldn't have told him, but like he was literally out looking with Albert and Sophie for this thing. So a little tougher to pull off, but I still think he could have gone for it. But it's a risky move.
I actively do not like this, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but like it's just a little trickier to pull it off.
And you don't know who might have seen you. Like,
yeah.
Reach in and grab something or put something in your pocket or inside your pants. You know, it's almost safer at that point if you are looking with other people to just, you know, we found it together.
Yeah, it really depends on all the circumstances, which we might not have seen everything. Play it early, Coach. Play it early, play it often. Don't hold on to this one. Get that, you know, you have it, but when you feel like you...
Play it at the merge.
Play it earlier. Yeah, merge episode maybe. Apollo's going to win immunity, and it's disgusting. It's the meat ripping off, like the big roasted pig, and just ripping off hunks of meat and spitting into a bowl. It's disgusting. This is the last time we get this challenge, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's because everybody gets injured.
Yeah, everyone just gets caught up. This
Don chips a tooth. Ozzy chips a tooth.
He dislocates his jaw.
Yeah.
And it's just gross. Let's never do this again, Survivor. Nobody likes this.
I don't know anyone who might enjoy this.
And then they get back. So Apollo wins. Savaya gets back to camp. And Cochran makes a joke that they all probably have oral herpes now.
Which he's talking about canker sores.
Yes.
But like, dude.
Yeah. It's not a well-received joke.
And I don't remember if it was this season, but is this the one where they like get to keep the meat too?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and they're excited about it. It
was you're excited about it, but it's kind of just like, I know where this meat has been.
You boil it, I guess, but ew. I don't know if I could eat it.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of how close these challenges are, Josh, for your reference, it was 23 pounds, 12 ounces, and 23 pounds, 14 ounces.
Woo. Just spit a little extra.
One mouthful of meat.
Maybe.
Blah. So Jim wants to take out Elise. He wants to execute this plan, and he tries to pull Keith and Whitney in to knock out Elise and weaken Ozzy. And Keith and Whitney want to try and have their cake and eat it too. They're like, we're not going to vote for Elise. We'll just throw our votes aside, and then Ozzy will still trust us. No. That's not how this works. That's a stupid plan. Like, if there was a way to do that, yeah, sure, maybe. But, like, no one's going to fall for that. It's completely obvious what you're doing. It's so stupid.
Such a newbie way of thinking.
Yeah.
It was almost like abstaining without abstaining.
Yep. Because Oz is going to be just as pissed at Keith and Whitney as everyone else.
Yeah. Because it's about not bringing somebody in.
Yep.
You know, they knew and they didn't tell him.
Ozzy and Elise, they're going to gun for Cochran. So it's going to be 3 votes for Elise, 2 votes for Cochran, and then it's 2 throwaway votes on Dawn. This was the wrong move. This should have been Cochran. You have an alliance of 5. They are going to just, like, burn their relationship with Ozzy for no real good reason. This is something you can take care of later. I think this is actually a really bad move. Just knock Cochran out of the game here because he's not in the alliance. Just keep your 5 strong.
That's interesting. I actually kind of like this move. If you've got a duo with a returner, you got to be careful. And they know that Ozzy has the idol.
Keith and Whitney do.
Keith and Whitney know. And so, like, I'm not mad at them for betraying him. I do think that their votes were dumb. But, like, ultimately, I don't mind the move of breaking up a power couple early, especially if they're getting comfortable. One piece of context that may or may not sway, I guess, people who are debating themselves. But Ozzy and Elise weren't really doing a lot socially. They were just kind of sitting there. Yeah, Ozzy would go fishing, but Elise wasn't doing a ton.
Yeah.
And they were pretty annoyed with that. It was like, oh, wow, you guys are so high and mighty and so comfortable in your alliance and thinking you're number 1 and 2. We got to do something about that. And Cochran, they're like, he's more than happy to be a number to Dawn, to Jim. And then obviously Keith and Whitney feel like they can control him too. So I'm going to trust the tribe on this. And I kind of like the move to weaken Ozzy, knock him off his high horse a little bit. So I actually like the move.
And if you're not super, like, concrete with your alliance, now might be the time to just go for it. If you think that you can build something more solid, I don't really know. It's kind of in that weird space, I think, where it's like you almost have that necessary evil that you need to break up, but it's not going to be pretty when you do.
I think Jim, Keith, and Whitney caught a case of big move-itis. And the pre-merge is typically not the time and place for a big move. So I actively don't like this move. It's great TV, but I think it's a bad move. Either way, for best player, I had Coach. He gets the idol, and he built enough trust with Albert to get that clue with him. So it's kind of like rewarding him for what he's done before building this relationship with Albert. So I have Coach as my best player.
I had Jim. I know that he was over-strategizing last episode, and that kind of bothered me. But ultimately, this episode, I like the Elise vote. And he's the one who kind of drove it. He was sort of the linchpin between Dawn and Cochran. And, you know, whether Keith and Whitney joined in with their votes or just kind of sat to the side, they didn't stand in his way. And so I was like, cool, I guess he got his way. So I will give him his commendations and his adulation he deserves for this episode and this episode only. So I gave it to Jim.
You know, I must have liked this move my first time watching just because I gave Jim an honorable mention in this episode, but I ended up giving it to Coach.
Okay.
So I am siding with Ryan, but just kind of interesting to note that I don't, it's not often that I mark down honorable mentions in my notes. Sure. And this was one of them to Jim.
Okay. Worst player, I had Ozzy. He was lazy besides fishing, but he didn't do anything else. He didn't really, he wasn't thinking about what he was saying. He was too close to Elise, ended up being left out of the vote. So clearly he didn't make his tribe comfortable enough with the whole Ozzy Elise thing, and that's bad on Ozzy. Ozzy's my worst.
Couldn't say it better myself, it was Ozzy.
Me too.
Cool.
Not like it matters.
Episode 6, Free Agent. Ozzy has a temper tantrum after Tribal Council, and I love this. This is so funny.
This might be one of the biggest hissy fits I've ever seen in Survivor history. Oh my goodness.
Basically, I'm what you call a free agent. And then everybody's like, Ozzy, what are you talking about? What free agent? What are you talking about? Like, are you against us now? That's kind of dumb. And everybody's just kind of calling him out for his BS. And Ozzy's like, well, I have an idol. How about that? And it's just like,
old move. Is this real? This is just elite play, man.
This is going to bleed into the next morning as well, because he's just going to go out into the ocean, do some fishing, and then go sit on a rock by himself listening to Fall For You by Secondhand Serenade, just off on his own for like hours on end, to the point where people are like, what is that sad sack doing on the rock over there? He's not even doing it. He's just sitting there.
I think Cochran, because they're all just, like, talking smack, and Cochran's just like, he needs to be stopped being such a whiny bitch.
He does say that.
It's so unexpected, and it was so funny. Like, Don is cracking up, and this just is, like, bonding all of them together against Ozzy.
And like, he's giving them that this ammo. He's giving them that opportunity, and all of a sudden it's like, do we really want to work with this guy? If even a little bit of animosity, a little bit of unexpectedness, a little bit of chaos, and he absolutely loses it. Big hole in Ozzy's game. If it's not going his way, he kind of can't handle it.
Yeah, he can't handle not being on the winning side of things.
Yeah, he can't handle adversity. That was the word I was looking for.
Oh, it's so funny. Brandon finds the auto clue, and he goes off hunting, and Albert and Coach are like, yeah, we can't say anything.
If you're worried about someone blowing up your idol, there, that one.
Yeah. And so we get a confessional from Coach, and he's talking about playing the game as a Christian man. And he asks the question, basically, is withholding information lying?
So put it to the podcast hosts.
Is withholding information lying?
No, it definitely is not. Unless someone specifically asks you about it and you deny it, then it is lying. But if you just choose not to tell someone something, that's not lying.
Brandon would disagree with you.
Well, Brandon's an idiot.
Yeah, I don't think it's lying. I also don't care.
Also, it's Survivor, like, so who cares? if it is a lie.
Honestly, what we would need to do is go define our terms. Like, I don't know what the dictionary says about lying. In my head, this isn't lying. It's not being truthful. And those two things are different. And Brandon says that if you're not being truthful, you're lying. I think he uses lasciviousness to describe this moment. And I immediately Googled that. And I'm like, wow, he used the word lasciviousness correctly. I was super kind of impressed about it, but he's like, these are black and white issues. And I'm like, there's the religion talking.
Yep. And this is where it gets interesting, because Brandon's philosophy is, it is black and white. You're lying or you're not. You're truthful or you're not.
You have integrity or you don't.
Coach is like, you know, there's shades of gray, especially in a game like Survivor. Coach is right. He's going to use this in a probably not so cool way, but he's right.
I don't know. I find it kind of cool, kind of interesting.
It's interesting.
Because, like, this is Survivor. Brandon knew what he was signing up for. So, frankly, I don't really care how people decide to manipulate other people.
I'm not offended by this by any means. It's just, it's a bad look optically for Coach. I love it. It's fascinating.
It's a bad look for maybe a general public. I don't mind this. But I've also been on a podcast for how many seasons now saying, like, hey, just so you know, people might use your religion against you. I don't even think I realized what I was talking about until we get into, like, these episodes, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, Derek, you were right, and you didn't even realize how right you were.
And you know, to drop some real life knowledge in here, that's true to real life too. People can use that against you.
Yes.
So it's like Matt Elrod said last season, you know, he was trying to play with just his heart. And at the reunion show, he's talking about, you know, just playing with your heart alone doesn't mean you should ignore, like, logic and reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and if anyone wants an even more realistic example from me, specifically with religion, I was talking to a gentleman one time. He said he doesn't go to church for God. He goes for the business opportunities.
Okay.
So this happens in real life, people.
Yes.
So what I'm doing right now is I'm putting up a draft of a tweet, okay, and when this episode is released, I will post that tweet as a poll, and I want people to go vote on it.
Interesting. All right. So when you're listening to this podcast, go vote on this poll.
At Castaway Pod, is withholding information considered lying? Yes or no?
And I want to go back to briefly the fact that a lot of people are uncomfortable with some of the content of this season, which, again, I think is fair, but this is a social experiment. So I think it's uncomfortable because it's real. And that's what makes the season so fascinating for me. Redemption Island, Christine's going to flip off Rick during the middle of the challenge. Because he's like, yeah, go Christine. And she just, like, casually flips him off.
And Sophie's like, did you catch that?
I love Christine's just unmitigated spite.
Yeah, Maddie 2.0 down there. She's had a lot of time to stew.
She's this Long Island, sassy New York lady who don't take no crap. And she's just, like, done with her bull crap. It's great. She is going to defeat Elise and knock Elise out of the game. She's on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
Very Matt Elrod.
At some point, Jeff says, like, how does it feel knowing that you single-handedly ended, like, four or five people's games? And she's like, yeah, well.
Yeah. Whatever.
Good observation.
It's like she's, like, collecting, like, horcruxes.
Yeah.
give me them all.
I was gonna say she's like a predator. She's collecting their skulls. We just don't know it.
Yeah. Edna, her new strategy is to focus on specifically getting close to Coach, because he's the leader of this group, and if she's close to Coach, he will protect her. It's gonna pay dividends in this episode.
Solid strategy.
Yep. If you can't break into the five, try and break into the one.
I mean, especially if you see him probably the one to save Brandon over and over again. It's like, oh, why is Brandon still here? Well, he's super close to Coach. Well, there you go.
Ozzy is going to finally mend fences with the rest of his tribe. And like, you know what? I'm sorry for my behavior. Great, Ozzy. Dig yourself out of this hole. And he does. He does dig himself out of this hole.
You got to put down the shovel before you can stop digging the hole. And he at least puts down the shovel and starts to get out. You know that everyone's going to be leery of yes. him from here on, as they should be. But, you know, this is a good start.
He is going to get back. He probably does as good as he can do starting right at this moment, at this specific moment, with everything he's done. Now to redeem himself, he's probably going to do the best he can possibly do.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
Keith and Jim, they end up leading Savai to an epic comeback win because it is a giant slingshot portion of the challenge. Michaela is not very good at it, and Albert is very good at it. So Coach is like trying to get Michaela to stop firing and stop wasting time and let Albert keep firing. And Michaela refuses to lead the challenge, so Polo's going to lose. Okay, I get the mentality, Coach, but at the same time, just don't say anything. Let her dig her own hole.
Michaela's not in your alliance. You don't want to worry too badly about it. The only thing I'll say is that all of these contestants have realized how much of a back and forth these immunity challenges are. And if you feel like you can win one to maybe go into the merge and number up, especially after seeing what happened in 22,
yep.
it matters a lot. And for a coach as a captain, it matters a lot.
It's true.
So like, I'm glad that he said his bit, but you can not get it to the point that people start to think lesser of you. And I don't think that people do.
Yep.
So it's a risky play. I think it works out, but I would not recommend doing it.
But if people are suggesting you should stop firing, Michaela, stop firing. Let yeah. Albert do it.
At least use two hands.
Yeah. And did she just firing one-handed?
Did he say it multiple times?
Yeah.
I think it was twice that we saw.
Okay. We got it twice in the cut.
I'm fine saying it once. Make a suggestion. Once be like, fine. Hey, do you want to swap out? Albert's doing really great. No? Okay, bye.
Just say, hey, let's let Albert fire. He's on a roll. The boom.
Done. Perfect.
Coach said to build Albert up. And that should be the presentation, yeah. not bringing Michaela down. That's
Albert's doing amazing. Affirmative language.
Yes. Albert and Sophie, they want Edna out because she's physically the weakest, even though she's like closer to the alliance than Michaela is. Stupid move from Albert and Sophie. This is bad. They have the wrong philosophy here.
Yeah, we're late enough in the pre-merge to where you need to get out of that early mindset.
Coach wants Michaela out. He's going to, I think, push a little too hard on it, but I think Coach is right. This is where it gets interesting, though. Brandon also wants Edna out, but he made a promise, so he can't vote for Edna. He's going to vote for Michaela. He's like, you know, I'm fine with Edna going home, but I can't do it. I got it. So Brandon is on Coach's side against his own will. Leaving Rancher Rick as the swing vote.
And now Survivor Production is forced to give Rancher Rick some confessional time.
One thing I do want to say about Brandon real quick is he should want to target Michaela, not Edna, because of the history they have. Like, just because he's gotten kind of over it at this point doesn't mean Michaela has. So I think it's bad for Brandon. But anyway, Rick is the swing vote. Rancher Rick. You'll notice we haven't talked about Rick at all in a while. And that's because Rick has not gotten an edit.
It's funny, before we even started recording, I said to Ryan, I don't know who Whitney is. I don't know who Rancher Rick is. I was literally just calling him Ranger Rick
yep.
because I couldn't remember his name. And I also didn't really get a chance to know Elise, but she's also, you know, was booted, right? But yeah, Whitney and Rancher Rick, I hadn't heard anything about him. He's like, huh, there are reasons.
Yep, there are very good reasons why we haven't heard from either one of them. Whitney's, that'll be next time. Rick, on the other hand, it's because he wouldn't answer any questions at Tribal Council. He would give no answers. He would say yes or no, if anything. And Jeff hates that more than anything else on Survivor. So Jeff just eventually he stopped asking Rick questions altogether and basically wanted to strip Rick from the show, give him as little screen time as possible. And, you know, maybe he wasn't even talking to the producers much in the confessional. It was just Rick was the spotlight of this vote that they had to.
And we talked about this with Danny Boatwright.
Yep.
And that was why she didn't have much of an edit at all in season 11. It wasn't because they were trying to like give her an under the radar edit. It's because they really didn't have a storyline from her to tell. Yep.
Danny and Rick are both on purpose hiding things from production, which is a fair strategy. It just will make you unpopular with the producers. At Tribal Council, Brandon calls everyone out for being disloyal to Edna.
Just vote me out now if we're going to play disloyal.
Okay, bye.
Dude.
If you say so.
And this is where we get the discussion where Coach talks about how honesty comes in shades of gray, where Brandon says it's very black and white. Very interesting. This should be a red flag for Brandon about Coach. Oh, honesty is shades of gray, huh? So you haven't told me everything? That's what you're saying, Coach? We're going to get 4 votes for Michaela and 3 votes for Edna. I think this is the right move. I hate how we got here. This is so dumb. It should have just been Michaela. Easy. But the fact that we had all this back and forth and stupid crap and people not thinking right, Brandon, Sophie, Albert being the 3, bad.
You can safely vote out Michaela. And I do think that that is the best move. I think getting rid of Edna, someone who's at least trying to be loyal. And they do say they think it's because she's being shady and she's very self-serving and she's trying to like fracture the alliance by getting too close to Coach. They kind of articulate it like that. And they also say she's a competent player and that's why they want to get rid of her. So it's kind of like Elise, but I do think that the difference is like Cochran also has some redeeming qualities, whereas Michaela's kind of been on the outside this entire time. And even in a physical challenge, she kind of showed that she's not much of an asset. And that's not a knock on Michaela. It's just not her game. That's fine. So get rid of Michaela. And for Brandon especially, like, you've got such bad blood with her. There's no way that she would consider aligning with you long-term in the game.
What you guys are saying is making sense. So sure, I'll agree that it works as the right vote. Interestingly, I did mark down that it was the wrong vote and it should have been Edna when I first watched it. So I'm curious why I might have thought that versus this now.
Yeah, it must have just done a good enough job to show you that Edna was, like, at least on some people's radars as a threat.
Well, and Edna also is not good in the challenges. That was the main reason they wanted to get rid of her.
And they were saying that she was pretty much a 0. And she sat out at the challenge that they lost.
Either way, very close. Like, you could go either way, it seems like.
Who'd you have for best player, Derek?
I had Coach, because they ended up getting the right move done, and he was able to go to specifically swing vote Rancher Rick, and he's like, I'm having a talk with you, man-to-man. It's got to be Michaela to go. And I think that that's the conversation that ultimately pushes Rancher Rick to go and make the right move and vote out Michaela, despite what a couple of his closest tribe mates are wanting to do with Edna. So he did impose his will on the game successfully and, in my opinion, correctly. I don't like that Brandon kind of made the move with him for the wrong reason, but, you know, Dr. Sean was voting for people for all the wrong reasons too, and people used that and we gave them their commendation. So I had Coach.
I had Edna because she was the one who built that bridge to Coach and specifically focused on building a relationship with Coach, which I think saved her. She survived this vote because I think of her own actions. So I had Edna.
I wrote down a question mark. I'm not sure why, but I think I'd go with Edna here, especially since Pastros thought that, you know, she probably should have been the one to go. So she's still around. She must have done a good job not being the option.
I got no fights.
I'm a worst player.
I actually still just said Ozzy. I know that Sophie and Albert are kind of gunning for Edna. And I know that Brandon had another outburst saying, like, I really want to vote out Edna, but I can't. I'm going to vote out Michaela. But again, no, Ozzy threw a huge hissy fit, the biggest that I've ever seen in Survivor, for like the first third of the episode. And like, yeah, congratulations, you stopped digging, but that was after you made it to like Earth's crust. Yes. So like, dude.
Yeah, he's going to climb back out of it. It's 100% Ozzy. 100%.
Yep.
Cool. Episode 7, final episode of the pre-merge, Trojan Horse, an elite god-tier episode of Survivor, one of my all-time favorites. This is one of the funniest episodes of Survivor, I think.
And very, like, accurately named.
Yes. So we're going to start off on Redemption Island. Christina's going to defeat Michaela. Michaela's out of this game. Michaela is going to be on the ballot for Survivor Cambodia to be voted on for the second chance this season. Do we want to see it?
No, I didn't see enough. I got nothing against Michaela. Yeah. If I saw her again, I'd be like, oh, hi. But no, as for actively rooting for her on the second chances ballot, no.
I'd mostly nothing her, so.
Yeah, same. I don't think I had her, out of all the women on the ballot for Cambodia, I don't think I had her as dead last of the people I wanted to see again, but she was very, very close to the bottom.
I think you had PG as one of the people you least wanted to see back.
I think PG was my dead last one, and that's just because PG annoys the crap out of me. we'll talk about that when we get there, but I think it was PG.
I remember it live. I remember you talking to me, Ryan.
So, and Ozzy was at the stool with Cochran. So, on their way back from the challenge, he comes up with a plan if they lose the next challenge. Because Christine, maybe she'll join forces with them if she wins their way back in the game. Maybe she won't. It's a toss-up. Why do that when you can have the sure thing? And he suggests maybe having himself get voted out, defeats Christina, hopefully merge, he comes back into the game, and they will have their numbers. Wow. Wow. This
bold
is a move.
Move.
Wow. I don't think I could suggest this to anybody. This is a bold move that
no,
only
absolutely
someone
not.
Like Ozzy and maybe like Joey Amazing could pull off. I cannot recommend this because the whole point of the game is not to get voted out.
Yeah, or like maybe like Jonathan in 42.
Sure, maybe Jonathan. Ugh, this is wild. So we'll see if this comes into play.
Yeah, I'll talk more about this move later on. This might spoil the challenge results, but this is all before the immunity challenge. Ozzy is talking to Cochran saying like, I have the idol. I would give it to someone. Worst comes to worst, you guys vote me out because I want to go into the merge with numbers. There's a lot of problems with this, but we'll talk about that later.
We will talk about this. This is insane. Game changers. Forever game changer, Ozzy.
Forever game changers.
He was on Game Changers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And I think this is the move that got him on Game Changers.
This is the one that makes every fan realize he deserves it.
This is a game-changing move. Game-changing does not have to be good by definition. It just has to change it. Coach wants to unite the tribe, so he organizes an idol search party to find the idol as a tribe that he already has. And he is going to lead a prayer to God to help them find the idol. And we get an excellent confessional from Sophie. She's like, Coach, you're leading a prayer to help us find something you already have. Kind of icky. It's kind of icky. She's like, you know, I was the one who said it, so it's okay, but it's not great.
You know, the good thing about the loophole of Christianity is you can just go and ask for forgiveness privately later. Be like, God, sorry about that, but like, I need to get that chicken.
One word, cult. That's all I have to say about that.
Drink the well water.
Drink the well water Kool-Aid.
Drink the brain parasite water.
And then Coach pretends to find the idol, and they're like, oh yeah, good job, Coach. You found the idol for the tribe.
We got the idol, my lord. Kumbaya.
Dude, this episode is elite.
I'm so uncomfortable watching this. I just have my hands on my head. What?
And
it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
This is just the beginning.
This is just the beginning.
In this episode, it's going to get worse. I don't even know what happens post-merge.
Here we go. One of the all-time elite immunity challenges. Really, really kind of standard immunity challenge, but it's kind of blindfold. You know, we get collars and stuff like that. But the important part is Cochran blows this challenge for Savai because he's kind of on rope duty. He's got to keep the rope. You know, because they're tied to some rope, they have to go out and back, and he's got to make sure that is maintained and does get knotted up. And it gets all twisted up. Absolute disaster for Cochran, for Savai. Absolutely blows the challenge and allows Upolu to win. And this is a big one, because this is going to go into the merge.
They don't know this for sure, but everyone has a very strong suspicion.
This is what happened last season.
Yes.
And everything else has been exactly the same. We changed nothing. So as Upolu wins, and Coach, his role in the challenge was done at this point because they were just finishing the puzzle, and Coach was not on the puzzle, and he's just leading his other people in prayer. And
like, please, oh Lord, grant us this victory so that we may smite our foes.
Well, and it's like, and if you do grant it, you know, we will rejoice in your name kind of thing at the end. So as soon as it's done, Coach grabs his entire tribe. It's like, on your knees, on your knees. And like forces them all on their knees to lead a group prayer. And it's like surreal because as this is happening, Ozzy is throwing another temper tantrum and like kicking the giant wall obstacle.
He's throwing the people's knee at the giant wooden wall in the background. And Coach is going, on your knees, on your knees. And Ozzy is kicking plywood. And Cochran is just like breaking down because he knows he blew the challenge. And I'm just like, what the heck? Someone just dropped a chaos bomb. Like, what happened? I can't hear Freebird right now, but I think Samuel Jackson turned it up.
And to make things even crazier, is this the whole theme of this challenge was twins. Why that is the case, I will get into in a moment. But they were all supposed to, like, paint and dress like twins. Like, tribes of six, pairs of twins. So everybody looks really weird. Brandon has painted a bra on his chest. Sophie has painted facial hair on her face. Everyone looks odd right now. and then on your knees, and Ozzy's kicking things and swearing up a storm.
And by the way, his hair is braided to look like Whitney's. Yep. The aesthetic is so funny.
I cannot overemphasize how absurd and surreal this challenge is, because I'm laughing so hard I was crying, and just watching this was just like, what the F is happening?
And for me, first time, I had no idea this was coming. No idea.
I mean, how could you expect it?
I'm just sitting there, mouth agape. Like, so I couldn't even laugh at it, because I didn't even know. I was like, if I laugh, I miss something. So I was just like, eyes open, ears open, trying to absorb everything that was happening. It was just this cacophony of, like, sensory overload. And I couldn't stand it, but I wanted more. It was like Tamako.
Amazing.
Well, and I mean, like, so this season has kind of just, like, lived within our friend group, even though, like, hadn't really watched it. Just because, like, Ryan had mentioned it here and there. Just like, by the way, this is out here. Like, stuff happens. And once it starts, like, happening in this season, you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Things are going on here. And I feel like this is the moment. This is really the moment where
yep.
you're just blindsided by it. And, like, you get little hints here and there throughout the pre-merge, but it's really right here that, like Derek said, I feel like I remember me just, like, holding my face just, what? What is happening? No. This didn't actually happen. But it did.
Yeah, I have spoken heavily. This season has lived in the lore of our friend group for a long time, just because of my love for this season. And, yeah. So far, I think it's delivered.
I think the most wild part also is, like, the reward was to go and watch Jack and Jill.
Yep, that's the second part.
And that is the
reward?
And that was the least interesting thing that happened the whole time that they're there pretending to laugh at this god-awful movie.
So you're jumping ahead, sir. You gotta savor this moment.
Fair, I'm sorry. I'll let you narrate
this. The reward for this challenge is just like in Nicaragua, we're going to go off and watch a movie. We're going to sneak peek at the new Adam Sandler film, Jack and Jill.
So that's why it was twins themed.
Yep. Widely considered one of the worst movies ever made. So Opoli's going to go off and watch this. And just seeing their reactions to the movie, Rick is having a grand old time. Sophie looks like she wants to die. And Coach has to give a confessional about how this was somehow related to Survivor.
He's like, family comes first. That's very much related to Survivor. No, that has nothing to do with Survivor. We haven't had a blood versus water yet.
And even then, it doesn't come first.
What else can you say?
Well, you just have to go and watch it.
Yeah, this is an elite episode.
Even though I landed on this being like a not like must-watch pre-merge, I do think that episode 7 is an episode that literally everybody should watch.
Is this must-watch episode of Survivor?
Yes. Like, I will go ahead and partition it down as finely as I need to if it's this weird. I can't even call it, like, amazing. I watched this today, everybody. I don't know how I feel about this yet.
This episode is in my top 10 episodes of Survivor.
This is, like, raw, unsiphoned emotion. So I'm still working it out. But the fact that there is resonating feeling, echoing feeling in my brain tells me that there's something right about it.
So Coach has said later, he's like, yeah, that movie sucked. But yeah, give the producers what they want. That's why they love Coach.
Shocker. Like, who would have guessed?
So Savai is pissed at Cochran because he blew the challenge. And eventually they're all like, Cochran's like, okay, I guess I'll go to Redemption Island. I mean, you don't want to volunteer, but it looks like you're going anyway there, bud.
Everyone was talking very much like, yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And that's the fair thing to do. But yeah. Survivor's not necessarily fair. And everyone is giving him all these inspiring speeches about he's going to go to Redemption Island, defeat Christina, and get that redemption. And Cochran's confessional is like, I don't need any redemption. No, I don't want to do this. This isn't working for me at all.
Well, and also, I think it's the right move for everyone to do that. Because, like, if he goes to Redemption and wins and then flips, like, then it's all for naught.
Yeah.
And this is going to build into part of what I'm about to talk about, because we're getting to the next part.
Time for the Trojan horse. Ozzy is going to change his mind, and he has decided, like, to give us the best chance of success here. I shall go to Redemption and win and come back into the game. And Keith and Jim are very opposed to this. Shut your mouths. Let them do it. If someone is volunteering to get voted out of the game, let it happen. Great.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if you can, it depends on how closely you consider them in your alliance. Like if you think someone like Cochran is a lot closer of an alliance member who is unlikely, let's just say, to flip, or is Ozzy more likely to stick around in your alliance and flip? Depending on how it goes, like it might be better, even if they don't win, it might be better to just vote out the person who you think is most likely not to stick with you after the merge.
Then you also got to consider who's coming back in, and you know, Ozzy's got the better chance. And you know, Cochran says the right thing. He says, like, I will go to Redemption Island, but I have more confidence in Ozzy succeeding in the duel than I have in myself.
He does say, like, I think it's more fair for me to go.
Yep. But, like, to just the caveat, I have more confidence in Ozzy. It's excellent, excellent phrasing for Cochran right there. I love that.
And I suppose
that.
we have who, Christine, right, at yes. Redemption. So she ain't going to side with you.
She might. She might, because she hates Coach. She hates Coach.
Yeah, and she, you know, she flipped off Sophie and Ranger Rick. So it's no guarantee that, you know, Christine goes back to Upolu. But, you know, maybe Christine, and they're thinking, like, does she want to be a six on Savai'i who she doesn't know, or does she want to be, like, a seventh on Upolu, and then maybe there's room to work in there?
Yeah.
I honestly would probably more strongly consider going back to my original tribe, because I know who those people are better.
Christine should join Savai'i. That is the better move for her. But will she? That's the big question. Ozzy is a guarantee. If he comes back in the game, he's sticking with you. So here's the plan, and we're going to go to Tribal Council, and Ozzy's going to lay all of this out for Jeff. And it's really kind of a surreal Tribal Council.
And Jeff is like, wait, what?
He's just eating this up. Ozzy is going to tell Christine he was idled out of the game. Cochran found the idol, played it, knocked Ozzy to Redemption Island. This will allow, at the merge, Cochran to play double agent with the Upolu tribe. Everyone's going to pretend Cochran idled Ozzy out of the game so he can go to Upolu and gather information. And then Ozzy will hopefully get back into the game, and boom. Ozzy gives Cochran the idol, let him hold on to it, and he's like, just give back to me when I get back to the game. Cochran's like, yes, I absolutely will.
In front of everybody.
In front of everybody. Six votes for Ozzy, one vote for Cochran. Hey, if you have a guy volunteering to go to Redemption Island who will be loyal to you if he gets back into the game, let him go.
Yeah, I'm almost speechless about it just because it's like, okay.
Don't do this, people. Don't do it.
So I have very strong feelings. I think that this is 100% the best move for Savai'i. Because on the one hand, like, we just came off of season 22, right? Where Rob's tribe ran the table. So if they go in down in numbers, they have to assume that Coach's tribe is close enough that they will do exactly the same thing, at least to a point where, like, for sure, Ozzy's gone, Jim's gone, Keith is gone, probably Dawn because they saw how well she performed in the challenge. So they're going to pick off these challenge beasts one by one. Cochran's probably last man standing, but there's no guarantee that Cochran hangs around either, and there's no guarantee that he can infiltrate Upolu, right? But it also becomes an individual game. So, like, let's say that, you know, Ozzy does lose and he doesn't come back. Well, they're going to be down in numbers likely anyway, because I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Cochran probably also wouldn't beat Christine. That's neither here nor there. We're talking about best odds. If your best way to win, if you're Jim or Keith, is by winning individual immunity to make it to the next day, you don't want Ozzy in the game with you. So it's good for them in that way. And lastly, having Ozzy go do this himself, one, he needs redemption. He did just throw the biggest hissy fit in Survivor history. Two, people might be less willing to vote for him if he does make it to the end, just because he is a returner, unless he makes some big, bold moves. It's not like he can make a bigger target on his back. He needs to do big things that says, like, this is why you should vote for me, because I'm doing these crazy things. And guess what? The second he loses individual immunity after the merge, he's going to Redemption Island anyway. So you're going to get voted out 7th, 8th, or 9th, because he can't win them all. I love this move for literally everybody across the board for Savai'i, and it's not even close. So, like, can I recommend the move?
No!
For nobody except Ozzy. For nobody except Ozzy. And, sure. And I stan it. I love it. Okay. I am here for it.
Okay, so it seems like we're all on the same page that Savai'i, it's sure.
It's good for the other five, let her for go. Sure.
She don't want to be saved. Let her go. From Ozzy's perspective, what are we thinking here? Like, do you need to? And I think the biggest reasoning for doing it, one, yes, numbers going into merge, that's all great. But not only that, but, like, you just came off of them basically being so annoyed with you, kind of being at the bottom of your alliance. Like, this brings you back into graces with them to actually be able to be a cohesive group going into the merge. Otherwise, you're just going to get dismantled.
So for Ozzy, you know, if Ozzy's not a three-time player, if this is his first time, absolutely not. Don't risk this kind of thing. I think specifically in this instance, this is the best move for the Savai'i tribe as a whole, which is how Ozzy is currently playing. He wants this tribe to do well together. For individual, I think this is too high risk for Ozzy to do this, so I can't condone this move. But if I have to have somebody do this move, who out of every Survivor contestant in Survivor history and multiple versions, who is this best for? Ozzy 3.0. Not Ozzy 1.0, not even 2.0.
Yep.
Ozzy 3.0. Still, don't do it. Unless you were Ozzy 3.0, don't do this.
I don't remember if it's Derek or Ryan or whoever, but one of you guys says it all the time that you would rather take bold swings and play a big game and get out 10th or whatever it might be. That seems a little far, but, you know, 10th, let's just say, instead of, you know, getting knocked out in whatever, 6th place. You know, just because the numbers don't work out in your favor. And I feel like doing this move increases your odds of being able to get to the end versus, you know, potentially just having someone lose at Redemption Island and they just get picked off at the merge.
This is a very Derek move.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'll only spend another 25 seconds on this. The reason I love it for Ozzy is because, you know what, it's the Eric Reichenbach move. You are swinging for the fences, you want to win. Because Upolu will target him the second that he loses individual immunity, because we all know what Ozzy can do. Ozzy's tribe don't want to get picked off by Upolu. They will take him to 7 or 6, and then he only has to win 3 or 4 in a row to make final tribal council, rather than 5 or 6 or 7, or whatever the ludicrous number is. That's why this move is the best for Ozzy. Because it's in the best move of the tribe, it's in the best move, best interest of Ozzy.
Derek, that was 33 seconds, not 25 seconds.
Shoot.
All right, so best player of the episode, I had Don. I want to give it to someone from Savai'i, because this was all overall a good move for Savai'i, and I remind everybody, if you get voted out, you're not eligible. Even if you choose to get voted out, you're still not eligible. Because, you know, generally you don't want to get voted out.
Even if you're still technically in the game.
Can't give it to Cochrane, he blew the challenge. I don't want to give it to Keith Jim, because they were very vocally against this move, which is dumb. That leaves Don and Whitney, as far as I'm concerned, and we didn't see Whitney at all. Don was at least, like, she was probably the nicest to Cochran out of everybody, like, because Don is a wonderful person. So because she went along with this plan, didn't protest, and was like, okay, cool, and was at least still nice to Cochran, nicer than everybody else, at least I'm going to give Don my best player of the episode.
To heck with your rules. I gave it to Ozzy.
You can't give it to Ozzy.
Then it's nobody.
Fine. You can give it to nobody. You cannot give it to Ozzy. NA for Derek.
So I marked this as ungradable, just because it was just such a just insane move. Like, I'm just like, I have nothing. So I guess I'm siding with Ryan.
Cool, we'll give it to
Ozzy.
I will let you give Ozzy an honorable mention.
Ooh. You know, Derek, you should take that and run. I'm shocked
I'm going to take the NA with an honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention to Ozzy.
And mine's ungradable, siding with Ryan.
So will you give an honorable mention to Ozzy with me?
Sure.
I will take it.
But I will not.
Two honorable mentions does not equal a best player. Just so you know. That is not an accurate conversion.
So
rate.
Don is best player of the episode. For worst player, I had Coach, because he told everyone about his idol. You know, everything else aside, you know, everyone knows he's got the idol now.
For cringe factor, I also said Ozzy. But then I said, just kidding, it's Coach. I don't like that he put on this whole show of idol, I have it, and then on your knees. Like, there's no way that everybody there is completely on board with that.
Yeah, okay, that's a good segue into talking about this.
Oh, wait, I need my opinion.
Yes, okay. We will. But what Derek just said, this is important. Coach's whole, you know, on your knees, he's kind of assuming everyone is completely on board with the religion the same way he is. And, you know, Coach Brandon and Rick are all extremely religious guys. Rick's Mormon. Sophie is an atheist. You know, and she's going to play it cool and not say anything because, of course, but, like, that is a big assumption to make if you're going to lead everyone in group prayers. Not everybody might be comfortable and on board with that. So that is a very good point, Derek.
Yeah. So that's why it has to be coached. It's a big, dangerous assumption, all for the sake of controlling Brandon, which is what I think it honestly is.
Josh?
Past Josh said Ozzy.
Ask Josh is breaking the rules, not allowed.
And yes, I did actually write that down.
We'll,
I knew it
we'll give you
I
a dishonorable mention.
I knew it wouldn't be taken seriously. So yes, I am giving Ozzy both an honorable mention and a dishonorable mention.
Ozzy was a player.
All allowed.
Ozzy was present.
And I'll give the thumbs up to Coach.
Cool. A thumbs down.
I mean, thumbs down. Thumbs up to your guys' decision on Coach.
Okay. So I've lost my winner pick. If he comes back into the game, I get him back.
Yes.
If I were to switch here, I would switch to Coach. He's just got so much control over the game, and he's out of the other captain, so it would be Coach. But, you know, if Ozzy comes back, I get Ozzy back.
Yeah, team Coach over there.
So that's the end of the pre-merge. Moving into the merge now. We just discussed who my winner pick would be if I was switching, if I could. We'll see what happens here. Derek and Josh, there is 11 people left in the game you can choose from. Derek, you have Coach.
Yep.
Josh, you have Edna. Yep. Would you switch, if you could, and who to? Derek, go ahead.
I think I would end up sitting pretty with Coach. I think, regardless, I'm ending up with someone on Upolu. If I was to switch, it would maybe be to Sophie at this point, because she's getting a very low-key edit that she has an understanding of the game. She did make a mistake with Edna, but it was none worse for the wear. Albert made the same mistake, and everyone seems to be doing hunky-dory. According to the edit, there's no way Brandon wins, but ultimately, I feel like Coach is kind of getting the dominating edit at this point. So I would stick with Coach, exactly where I'm at, totally comfortable. But if I had to switch, gun to my head, it would probably be to Sophie.
Josh?
Yeah, I think I'd choose one of those top kind of three people that they keep talking about on Upolu.
Sophie, Albert, and Coach.
Yeah, I think I'd have to choose between the three of them. Just based strictly on edit, I feel like I got to go with Coach. So, yeah. If I didn't mention, I would switch from Edna.
Sure, that's
if
fair.
If you were wondering.
All right, so let's get into best and worst player of the pre-merge. As a reminder, the people who are voted out in the pre-merge are not eligible. Therefore, we cannot give this to Ozzy or Christine. They are on Redemption Island, but they cannot win best or worst of the pre-merge. So we have 11 people to choose from. Derek, who is your best player of the pre-merge?
All right, so this is not necessarily going with who like won the most best players of the episode. I'm going back to more classic Derek. Who's going into the merge with a lot of wiggle room? Who is in the best position to do well based on the pre-merge? I like the chameleon. Sophie has chameleoned perfectly so far. Now, granted, I don't know anything about her like religious affiliation, but she's like, I feel icky about this, but Coach is doing it. I'm going to stick with this alliance. I'm just going to roll with the punches. Okay. So while Coach played a pretty darn good pre-merge with getting everybody wrapped around him, he still has a big target on his back. And so for that threat management piece, that's where I give the tiebreaker to Sophie over Albert. And that's just because like Coach has got a big, massive target on his back anyway. And it would have taken a lot for me to give best of the pre-merge to him. He would have had to do a Boston Rob style domination, and I didn't quite see that from Coach. I feel like Sophie has the most maneuverability moving into the post-merge, and that's why the chameleon pre-merge was the best.
Okay. I kind of actually went a similar line of thinking as you, Derek. I took a page out of the Derek book because I wasn't impressed by really anybody in the pre-merge. There's a lot of flawed gameplay here. So who was kind of the least flawed and who's just kind of like chilling? And that's Dawn for me. You know, she had that one moment of breakdown on day two. Who cares? And since then, she has like wormed her way into the alliance, played it really cool. She's basically just being nice, but still making strategic moves and observations. Dawn is my best player of the pre-merge.
And I, by the way, Dawn is my honorable mention for best player of the pre-merge. If I were to think that Savaii was going in as I feel like Savaii is going in as a less unified tribe as Upolu, and that's why I gave edge to Albert and Sophie. If I were to pick one from Savaii, it would be Dawn 100%. So total acknowledgement there.
Josh?
So we've got three different people, because I'm going to go with Coach here.
Oh, okay.
I don't really like it, but I do think that he's played the best game up until this point just because of, you know, the one X factor that we've talked about this entire time. He's been able to defuse kind of the bomb that is Brandon, and he's been able to keep him close and utilize him without him allowing him to blow up his game. Even though we've been really close, made the alliance day one, has been able to keep that essentially intact going through here to the merge, set themselves up nicely. As long as nothing too crazy happens, they're able to, you know, work with something going into the merge here and potentially coast. That's why I gave it to Coach.
Worst player of the pre-merge, Derek, who do you got?
No, it's Brandon. It's not close.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
Any protestations?
Not
any,
one.
Any contentions there?
All right. So that is the pre-merge of Survivor South Pacific. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we move on here?
I got to say, the way that it ended was so fascinating. Talk about going out with a bang. I was not expecting that episode 7 to kick like a mule to the face, but it did. Again, everyone, this might not be must-watch Survivor in its entirety, but go watch episode 7. I can't stress it enough. It is just so wild. Listen to this podcast, but then just go watch episode 7.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, it was a pre-merge that, you know, it's not like I disliked it. It's more that it was just like, it's fine, whatever, until it gets to that episode. And then it's like, you know what? Let's go. I am ready to go into the merge.
Yeah, I'm officially hype. Like, so much hype.
I love this pre-merge. This is one of my favorite pre-merges ever. I stan this pre-merge.
And the only other thing of note is how close all of these challenges really seem to be, and just a few minor errors here or there really did cost both tribes big time.
Yeah, if you're a fan of like the challenge component of Survivor and just like the competition aspect, I feel like there's a lot here for you.
Absolutely, because this is easily the most closely competitive
I think so.
of any season ever.
I think so. I think any season ever, I think this is the tightest race between two tribes.
And it's two true tribes. There were no swaps involved, no funny business, just mono-y-mono, or I guess tribe-y-tribe, and just go at it.
It's fun. Weather report.
There's honestly nothing of note. I don't even think it rained. They didn't have a tarp. No one picked comfort over tarp. They were just given comfort. There are plenty of coconuts. Cochran learned how to cut one, so that's kind of cool. Ozzy's fishing for the one tribe. I know this isn't weather report, but it's just general living conditions. This seems like one of the easier seasons so far.
Yeah, sign off on that. Last thing, Josh, as our memorability consultant, you get to decide what the most memorable moment of the season is. I don't know what you're going to pick here. So, we're through the pre-merge. What would you say is the most memorable moment so far of Survivor South Pacific?
So, it's kind of an issue in the first few episodes here. I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to do for most memorable moment? I'm like, nothing's really coming up that's like, yeah, that one. Definitely that one. I'm like, maybe I'll do, you know, I remember from the premiere, like, Cochran having an issue going in the water. Ha ha. Like, it's fun. And then we got to this last episode. And it's one of two options. I think they're two great options. It's either get on your knees or it's Ozzy going to Redemption Island 100% willingly. Unless you guys think there's something else I'm missing.
I'm going to throw in Jack and Jill just because I feel like
good third place.
We have talked about that as a friend group the most because that wasn't ever a spoiler. So even after you guys had seen the season and I hadn't, that seems to be what we talk about the most in, like, the memification of Survivor.
This is a huge meme.
This is all in one episode, folks.
Yeah. My vote, I love all of these. My vote would be Ozzy getting sent to Redemption Island willingly. That would be my vote.
Yeah, that is definitely what I was leaning to. But it is very close. I think I just had to go with Ozzy just because it's just wild.
Yeah.
As much as, like, get on your knees, just blindsided me. Like, it came out of nowhere. It's just like, what is happening? I think it was just, you know, the tease a little bit earlier in the episode and then leading up to it actually being, you know, yep, we're gonna do this. And then even at Tribal, like, him planning it all out, we're gonna do this, and we're all gonna win the game.
Love it.
It's insane.
All right. Well, that is Survivor South Pacific. We'll see if there's anything more memorable in the post-merge.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So next up will be the post-merge of Survivor South Pacific. I'm very, very, very excited to keep this going. Guys, good job. You can follow us on Twitter at CastawayPod. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram and all that fun jazz. Anything else, you guys?
Just message us anytime if you want to talk Survivor. And remember to go vote on that Twitter poll that we're going to tweet out when this when this episode airs.
And if you are the type of person who does like to watch stuff on YouTube, we are also going to be there as well. It does take a little bit longer to get them posted, but it'll be there.
Eventually, it'll be there. All right. This has been the Castaway Consultants.
Got nothing else for you.
Good night.